Here we go again.
It's time to talk.
I thought it was April Fool's Day when I heard that one. Get me off the air before I have a heart attack. We will have nothing to see for it. There's been many false dawns.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
The kindness of Cork people will never let you down.
Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation. Pick up the phone on 0818 104106. The Neil Prendeville Show, where the Mercedes-Benz Cork. So lawnmowers are set to roar this weekend with the long-awaited arrival of fine weather. My fingers are crossed. Yours should be too. According to Alan O'Reilly at Carlow Weather, story makes the star today. He's predicting next weekend is looking really promising. We kind of snatch at what we can get, you know, a couple of days here and a couple of days there and what have you. So lawnmowers will be roaring and garden centre car parks will be jammed. It's nice talking about it. Hopefully we'll also deliver. Talking about on delivering or indeed not delivering on promises, I know I've spoken on many occasions with customer service and the ever-changing world of customer service. You know how it's hard now to even get to talk to anybody on a phone. You'd almost be pleading now that they have some sort of a chat where you can at least type with the human being on the other end. Even that's getting less and less now. It's these chatbots, which are the most frustrating thing in the world, I think. But anyway, customer complaints then dominate many of the papers today. And number one, and it doesn't surprise me that it's Air, because it has been for a number of years, with regards to the worst customer service and the most customer complaints. And it all rolled out in court, where a judge blasted Air after the court heard that they threatened their staff with disciplinary action if they actually handled customer complaints. Hard to believe, isn't it? It's just hard to believe. So Judge Anthony Hopkin convicted the telecom giant only and fined them only $7,500, which is a drop in the ocean, really, with regards to what Air are earning. But anyway, that's what the judge decided. They were prosecuted by Comreg over their procedures. Is anybody Air is a headline making this morning's red tops in the inside page. Is then disgraceful service, spelt with an I, S-E-I-R. So they made deliberate decisions not to handle complaints in an acceptable manner. Comreg said customer care staff were warned not to give out the right customer complaint numbers or not to give out the website address unless the callers used specific trigger words in the phone call. Firstly, you probably would find yourself on hold for half an hour or 45 minutes or longer before you ever get to talk to somebody. And then you would assume if that happens that your call would be taken seriously and your complaint would be dealt with. But in Air's case, no. Now, Air are saying that all of this has been taken out of context. Air's claimed that this instruction to staff to hide complaint details from customers was taken out of context. That's the front of the Independent today. They said that the judge did say that they threatened staff with disciplinary action, but Air said this has been taken out of context because agents were told to transfer a call rather than ask a customer to call a second time. But even that doesn't even make sense. Why would you need to call a second time if your complaint was being taken seriously? Wouldn't you be getting the call back? Or wouldn't you have it resolved? And then you get a call back to tell you, what are these trigger words? That they'd only take the complaint seriously on the phone if people use particular words. So those words would be, I want a reference number for Comreg. I want a reference number of my complaint. Because if you have a conversation with an agent, there would be a logged reference number. So if somebody said that on the phone, that's a trigger word, say, customer service agent must, oh, I have to take this one seriously. Or if you used a term like, within your code of practice, you must do this for me. That's another trigger word, apparently. But many people wouldn't use them, nor know anything about them. By and large, if you are frustrated with the person handling your call, you might ask to speak to a supervisor. That's not a trigger word. So are we to believe that in all of these cases and all of these phone calls, nothing was ever done? So the compliance officer within Comreg makes the star this morning saying that customer care staff were warned not to give out complaint numbers, not to give out website numbers. And people were being promised callbacks from a team leader, or there were promised callbacks from a supervisor, which never happened in several instances. And for all of that, a $7,500 fine. Now, they're top of the list anyway with regards to customer complaints. And I know I read out that list in the past. I'll do it again a little later on this morning. But I'd love to hear from you with regards to your own customer care issues or the service or lack of it you got, or, you know, even trying to get through to somebody on a phone. And you go to an awful lot of, I know I'm going off on one now, but have you noticed if you go into an awful lot of service providers that you might have, it could be anything, your utilities companies are a great example of it. But if you go into their website, I dare you to try and find a phone number. Seriously now, like, and what I've noticed an awful lot more now is I dare you to even now try and find an email address. They have blotted them from their websites, many of them. No phone numbers, no emails. How are you supposed to contact people? But I tell you something, if your direct debit bounced, and if you, there are different numbers then, right? I'll come back to this later on, but if it's different numbers, you press one for one thing, two, three, four, and five. The only one that you'll really get answered really quickly and anything done with is if you want to buy something, you know, if you want to upgrade a service, or if you're looking to join a network or to change suppliers, then you'll get the phone answered quickly. You can be damn sure that your customer care then will be top notch. Other forms of care this morning, front page of the Sun and the Irish Times, and many of them are talking about Simon Harris vowing to get kids on surgery waiting lists, their much needed operations faster. I know we've heard all this before. I suppose to some extent we need to give the new Taoiseach the benefit of the doubt. He's got a new campaign. It's probably really sexy and funky now on TikTok and Instagram. It's called Kids Can't Wait, except it's very serious because kids are in pain. So that's a front page we're making this morning's Red Tops, particularly the Sun. And then if you look at the Irish Independent this morning, they're saying, such is the chaos within the HSE, for some particular reason, they've overpaid staff by more than 20 million euro in the past 2 years. But over half of the money hasn't been returned yet. Be a very easy thing to get it back in these days of modern technology. But why in the name of God in the first place would they have overpaid staff by over 20 million? And it leads me again to that conundrum in life. If an ATM machine paid you out too much money, would you keep it? Would you bring it into the bank? What would you do with it? If you found 50 euro inside in the toilet of a pub or on the side of the street, would you keep it? Would you give it back? If the bank gave you too much money in your account, would you keep it? Would you give it back? Text 0868104106. And then, I suppose that's notional, but in the real world, then you have even Micheál Martin now is rowing in on the quality of Irish water. Sorry, Ishka Aaron's water on the north side of Cork. I know we have a love affair with Tanora, but we like drinking it from bottles, don't we? We like the fizzy stuff. But we don't like it coming out taps the colour of Tanora, the water. John O'Riordan says he was showering with his kids in filth there. His kids were showering in filth there recently. The company's received over 1,500 complaints now on both sides of the Lee from the year 2023 alone. Actually, I should say that's the 2022 figure because it climbed to nearly 1,700 in 2023. So that's quite detailed, which I will be coming back to. It's not just the colour of it. It could be Tanora colour, it could be orange, or it actually could come out as sludge. We have pipes that are still there from the 1930s and beyond. They're rotten, and they're filthy, and they're rusted, and it's just gone on for way too long now. They call it an altercation in the city, in the papers. This is something I referenced yesterday on the air, because anybody that's on social media, you've seen the video of it. You've seen the big fight, the big brawl. The big set to the pylon on Oliver Plunkett Street, the junction there, Caroline Street outside Cypress Avenue. Now, the Gardaí reacted very quickly to this now on Sunday night. Six people were arrested. We'll keep an eye on the court case for that one. There was a major fight around about 20 to 10 on Caroline Street. A number of Gardaí units responded to the altercation. But the other thing I've been thinking a lot about this is, I was watching the video again last night because many different people took video footage of it with their mobile phones. So they're from different angles. You might think they're different fights. They're the same fight, but they kind of spilled into different areas. There were 20, 25 people involved in the brawl. At one stage, one fellow goes down. They thought he was dead. Then you have another character. Then the brawl then kind of spills into the smoking area and a fellow decides to pick up a chair and crash it down on another individual's head. Now, I don't know who these characters are. They seem to be one big group because they all kind of look the same. They all kind of dress the same. They all kind of talk the same. But anyway, the one thing I noticed was the patience of the Gardaí. I wish to God the Gardaí could just go in with batons and just belt the heads off them, get them down on the ground, cuff them and take them all away. But they have to have an element of restraint. And the amount of abuse that they put up with, and you know, the grief and the name calling. I think the Gardaí did a super job. considering that they have to have some amount of restraint. They must find it very frustrating because you could do the job an awful lot better if you could just get stuck in. But there you have it nonetheless. I hope to have some calls on that a little later on this morning. But we're never too far from criminality. You see a story in the Star this morning. Gardaí have launched a murder probe. This man was beaten to death with a hammer and dumped in a dog kennel. Can you believe that? The victims were named locally. This is a story up the country as a fellow by the name of Shane Knott. And he may have lain in that dog kennel for days before his body was actually discovered. I mean, it's gruesome, actually, the way this country is going these days. You know, the character then decides to rob the sacristy of a church right in the middle of a funeral. Got away with over €2,000. He appeared in court yesterday. I mean, thieving and stealing and burglary, but, you know, it's a particularly low blow. It's a particularly disgusting thing to do, to rob a church. But he's appeared in court after being charged now. And this is a charge. The case has been adjourned, like many cases in Ireland. It's back to July 8th. But the alleged assault, the alleged theft, apparently, was in the sacristy of a church in Letterkenny. A chap by the name of Irinsmus Matras. He appeared in court yesterday. €2,000 from the church while a funeral was being held. People were preoccupied at the time. And then the story out of an interesting email, actually, which I'll read a little later on, about a person who's concerned about people who might be suffering from schizophrenia and what kind of services they're being provided with and what kind of care they're getting. This emailer is suggesting that something like the Sydney shopping mall killing could easily happen in Ireland or indeed in Cork. But this fella, Joel Couchy, who's now dead, avoided men when he stabbed all of these people to death. He targeted women in his stabbing rampage, the 40-year-old. Apparently they spoke to his dad, and his dad said he wanted a girlfriend. He's got no social skills, and he was frustrated out of his brain. The only man that he actually killed was the security guard who tried to intervene in the shopping centre at Bondi Junction. The other five victims were women. He targeted women, says the Mail this morning. And then as we talk of men, women and children, the sexes, gender, how you want to identify, two interesting stories in the UK on this one. One is in the Mail, where the British Culture Secretary has called in all of the UK sporting chiefs. They're called, I think the organisation is, there would be the representatives of sports in Britain. That would be like cricket and soccer and rugby and all sorts of stuff like that. Anyway, she called them in saying that transgender athletes should be banned from competing against women. This would be individuals who are born male but identify as women. And the Culture Secretary, Lucy Fraser, has now said that it's unfair and they have a duty of care to give female athletes a sporting chance because male-born rivals have an indisputable edge, she says. And that's interesting because Dawn French makes the Mail this morning. Great actor, great comedian, but she says she can feel herself and smell her own cowardice now. She says, I genuinely think we're being forced into corners where I can smell my own cowardice. She says, cancel culture forces people into a corner where they choose to be cowards and say nothing rather than say what they really believe. You wouldn't say that about J.K. Rowling, but Dawn French feels it about herself. She says, I genuinely think we've been forced into corners, and I'm starting to be that way because I'm circumspect about what I will support or not because I'm afraid of the reaction, as in cancel culture or the way that people will treat her. And the final one then, across the water, and they really are dealing with this now, and certainly with regards to puberty blockers for children. Doctors now in the UK who prescribe puberty blockers to children privately risk being struck off. The health secretary is having none of it. She says she wants to get rid of this fashionable cultural values, and they must no longer be allowed to dominate gender medicine. In other news, if you can't get a plumber, or if you can't get a mechanic, or if you can't get any one of the trades, maybe you're looking for somebody to do a bit of electrical work in the house, and you can't get an electrician. That's because we have less and less apprentices coming out. Now, some might say that there's less interest. Because there's other work that can be done that pays better, and the terms and conditions are better, and you're not out in all sorts of weather, you're not on building sites, and the holidays are great, and there's, you know, maybe health benefits. But others, of course, is because 3,500 of them dropped out of their course in the last 3 years. One of them who dropped out, he said, well, he was fed up of being treated like a kid. He said they treat men like their children. So if you look at the numbers, 3,376 people who started craft apprenticeships didn't finish them. They just gave up. And they're 10,000 short per year now in apprenticeship registrations. This is what we need just to keep going. And I bet you there's people in the trades listening to this as they're going from job to job this morning and they're nodding their heads in agreement. But apparently, it usually should take around 4 years to cover everything you need to do with regards to becoming, going through your apprenticeship. Some of it involves, of course, being on the job, actually, you know, with regards to work placements, which are proving more and more. And I know COVID had a lot to do with this and it kind of delayed everything. But now apparently saying it's typically taking 6 years now to get through an apprenticeship. So who'd want to go through that with crappy money for 6 years? I know at the end of it, when you have your trade and everything, the world's your oyster. But, you know, we're suffering then when it comes to electricians, bricklayers, motor mechanics and stuff like that. And if you move to a story regarding motors, the Mail says, don't worry. You thought it was over. It's not. This is not good news. It looks as if petrol will at some stage hit €2 a litre. You know, there's still one excise duty increase, the reversal of a reduction that's still to come. And crude oil's gone up and it's expected to pass $100 a barrel. Do you remember when crude was down to about $35 a barrel? Anyway, they're saying €2 a litre will be just around the corner. And from corners then to junctions and traffic lights, a lot of those that break laws, of course, break them at traffic lights and they break them at, say, yellow boxes and at junctions. So, in the not-too-distant future, starting with Dublin, traffic light cameras, which will capture drivers breaking red lights, you'll be automatically prosecuted because the traffic light camera will be able to get a picture of your registration. They'll even be able to see you in behind the driver's wheel. And these will initially be installed in Dublin and then rolled out across the rest of the country. So at traffic lights, you will have traffic cameras. I mean, there's nothing extraordinarily exciting about this. It's normal practice all over the world. We're just kind of catching up. And then finally for now, a story from the Telegraph for the weekend. Now, you can either think this is funny or take it as being very serious, but offering a chair to an older colleague at work could count as age discrimination. This is a tribunal report from the Telegraph on Saturday. It says being given the opportunity to sit while younger staff stand may amount to less favourable treatment, according to an employer tribunal. Now, so employers who offer a chair to elderly workers and don't offer chairs to the younger workers could be breaking equality law. I'm rolling my eyes to heaven, lads. Don't know what you guys are doing. You could be saying, and proper order too. And proper order too. I mean, the fact that it gets into a tribunal in the first place is astonishing. But anyway, it's ruling around a 66-year-old man who worked in a recycling plant. He sued for discrimination after a colleague asked him if he wanted to sit down during his shift, which leads to the question as to whether you should open the doors for somebody, whether you should offer a seat to somebody on a bus or a train, you know, whether you should stand up when somebody comes into the room. Whether you should stand up if somebody comes in and joins you for dinner in a restaurant, gets into whether you should pay the bill. It's the etiquette of just surviving these days that I'm finding difficult. Text 0868104106.
Call Neil now. 0818104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Another thing you'd also throw in under the mantle of customer service, of course, is water on Lee Side, the colour of Tanora. And if you have Tanora coloured water or sludge coming out, let's talk about it. Text 0868104106. How bad is it and where is it bad? I know that Cork Bio have been talking in quite some detail online about this. Lee Side family, similar situation. They are estimated to be spending €1,560 a year just on clean water. It's probably bottled water that they're buying, and that's more than the average cost of a year's electricity bill. And this has been going on since at least 2 years, probably longer because of the state of the pipes. So again, that's probably customer service, really, isn't it, with regards to Irish water? Text 0868104106 and we'll chat with people with regards to the state of their water. How do you deal with it? Like, with just everything and anything in the home evolves around water, showering, cleaning, brushing your teeth, drinking, the dishwasher, the washing machine, everything and anything in the home. You know, if you've got a little baby and you're, you know, you have to be, everything has to be so hygienically clean, doesn't it? Even if it's to do with the bottles and stuff like that. But anyway, text 0868104106 on that one. So the top 10, just to remind you, the top 10 most complained about companies. Now, this list is from 2022, but I guarantee you, last year's list, you'll see very little change. Number one is Air. They were in court yesterday because of their carry-on. Number two is Bord Gáis. Number three is Harvey Norman. After that, number four is Ryanair. You'd expect Ryanair to be in the top 10, wouldn't you? You would imagine maybe higher, but four is disappointing for them. Number five is Sky. Then after that comes Currys, Vodafone, Aer Lingus, Ticketmaster, and Power City. So Air and Bord Gáis, Harvey Norman, Ryanair and Sky are the top five. And talking about Sky, let me get straight to that and talk with John regarding Sky. John, good morning.
Hello.
Can you hear me all right, my friend?
Yeah, I can hear you, Grant.
Okay, thanks for taking the call. Now, what happened to you, I have to say, is the exact same thing that happened to me and to our family. So go ahead, or at least my brothers and sisters and myself. Go ahead.
Well, with Sky, we recently had an issue because my father-in-law passed away there in February, and he had Sky because his mobility wasn't great and he enjoyed watching his sport and some of the gaming shows. And because he wasn't great with technology and all this, my wife took care of getting the Sky, taking care of the Sky.
She called Sky. She initiated it. She bought him Sky and they installed it in the house. Yeah.
And he was paying for it, but she took care of dealing with Sky for him, and it was under her name. But because the contract is under her name and not his, they won't allow her to cancel it under the contract is up.
Now, was it your dad or her dad?
Her dad.
Her dad passed away.
Yeah, in February.
Yeah, okay. So then she got on to Sky.
Yeah, and unfortunately they're not letting her cancel the contract. And if she wants to cancel early, they'll charge fees. And someone from Sky did tell me that we'll be passed on to collecting agency if we decided to stop the direct debit.
Correct. If you decide, if they said no, because it's in your name, you'll have to keep paying, you might think to yourself, that's fine, I'll just cancel the direct debit. But then a debt collecting agency would come calling, looking for the money, and they'd also charge you a debt collection fee.
Yeah, and it would cost more than what you'd initially be paying.
Not a whole lot of compassion going on there. Did she tell them that her dad had passed away?
Yeah, and she told them that he passed away, and she talked to about three or four different agents trying to sort it, and with still no success. But they told her that because the contract is in her name, there's not normal policies would apply, that there's nothing they can do.
Yeah, there is plenty they can do, though, isn't there, John? There's loads they can do.
Yeah, like they say, if the computer won't allow them to cancel it.
Yeah, well, that's all very well, but you can set up software to do all sorts of different things. And the reason I mentioned this to you about my own situation is that I bet you this is happening to a lot of people. People, if they're getting a little bit older, may not want to engage with the likes of putting in Sky or the different packages that are available or which one to pick. I know in the case of my own father, it was like that. He loved his sports and stuff. To be honest with you, we spent a long time trying to convince him to allow, because he had a lot of time at home to get Sky, and he wouldn't do it. So my sister then decided to get it for him as a little present, and she set it all up, and the Sky people came and they installed everything. He was absolutely delighted with it. He had all the sports channels. He could watch all the old boxing matches from the 60s and 70s and what have you. He loved the old black and whites. And then he passed away. But because my sister actually set up the account in her name, Sky then said exactly the same as they said to you. Sorry, There was no compassion in the sense of very sorry to hear about the passing away of your father or your loved one. Sorry, you can't do that. And it's your name. You'll have to keep paying until the contract runs out.
Yeah, it's a very big problem with them. Like I actually took the decision yesterday because we recently changed to Sky Stream, and I was still within the 14-day cooling period. I actually cancelled my own Sky yesterday and my broadband with them.
Really, because of this?
Yeah,
in protest.
Yeah, I'm not willing to stay with them if this is how they treat customers.
Well, good for you. Where will you go now for the service that Sky were giving you?
I actually got a good deal with Air. I know they're in the papers. But I got a good deal with them.
I hope to God you never have an issue with Air. You think Sky are bad?
I know.
Wait for what's coming around the corner. All right. Okay. Well, how long is left on the contract in your your father-in-law's account?
Till August.
It's galling that you have to keep paying, and nobody watching it. So there's not.
No, like my mother-in-law would still be in the house, but she doesn't really watch the TV. She'd rather be. She has her magazines with the kind of crisscross and word searches.
Yeah, she likes her crosswords and her Sudoku and stuff like that.
She's never been into TV.
No, they should. They should learn from this. They should learn that in the case of somebody, there are always special situations, and one of them is the death. And on compassionate grounds, they should say, very sorry for your loss. We'll cancel that immediately. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
Simple.
And it will drive other people to decide not to get their service. Like, or in the case of me, they could have had me for another few years paying away, but now I'm gone as well.
Yeah. Was it easy to cancel? Did you have to phone anybody, or did you just do it online?
Well, I had to phone them, like, because they actually don't cancel through the online service. Anytime I try to do anything online,
they don't make the cancelling easy, you see.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be laughing. It's the most frustrating thing in the world, trying to get on to somebody or get something done. But anyway, listen, you stood your ground. They lost you as a customer. You got a better deal from Air, and hopefully everything will go well with Air, fingers crossed.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, mind yourself. Thanks for taking the call, John. Keep those calls coming. Certainly, if you have an issue with customer service, I gave you the top 10. Air are right up there. Bord Gáis are there. Ryanair, Sky, Vodafone. Lots of them are providers who provide things like, utilities. Air would be a utility. Bord Gáis would. Certainly, to an extent, Sky would, Vodafone would, things like that. Text 0868104106. Thank you. I got some very interesting emails in over the past 24 hours. One is the story that we visited in the past. Can I just mention this? Because Sinead in Donnybrook emailed me. She says, I was driving along the Douglas Road yesterday, 3:30 in the afternoon, when I saw a woman pushing 3 full shopping trolleys down the road. Yesterday was very windy, and these trolleys could easily have caused an accident or damaged cars or cars passing on the road. The woman would walk with one trolley, park it at the side of the road, then go back, get the next trolley, push it up, park it, then go back, get the third trolley, push it up, park it. One trolley had packs of bottled water at the end with cardboard on top. The second one had packs and packs of peanut butter with cardboard on top. These are shopping trolleys. And the third one, I didn't see what was in it, but I noticed one of the trolleys roll into the curb. Luckily, there wasn't a car parked there. About 2 or 3 hours later, I was driving back into town, and she was still making her way down the main Douglas Road towards Douglas Village. I was mentioning at home last night, and my son's friend said the woman with the trolleys lives homeless around Douglas. If this is the case, these trolleys are sure to be a death hazard. Why, oh why, can't we house our own when we can spend €1 million a month looking after immigrants' dogs? Love the show, says Sinead in Donnybrook. Well, that is alarming, actually. Certainly that anybody would have to live their life like that, pushing trolleys up and down the main road. That woman, sadly, is living under the flyover as you head into the Front Village. And she's been there for a long, long time. She had gone away for a period of time, but she's back again, and she does have three trolleys. Now, the last time she was there was quite some time ago, and Seamus went to visit to see if she was okay and to see if we could help her in any way and see why she was living under the flyover. But she didn't really want to engage. And that's respectful. And I'm also bearing in mind that I don't want to give too much away with regards to the woman's situation, because it's private and personal to her. But she actually sleeps on top of one of the shopping trolleys at night and covers herself up. And she does have three trolleys, and she sits there for most of the day, moves around with the trolleys from time to time, but for most of the day, and for weeks and weeks on end now, she literally is living under the flyover with everything she possesses in three shopping trolleys. Sad, isn't it? Text 0868 104 106.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
I get stuck into text after 10, so text 0868 104 106. I got an extraordinary email. All emails have, their own amount of interest in people's lives when they want to share their own stories. I'll never ever share people's personal details if they don't wish to do so. But I did get one in with the subject bar saying deflated mother slash wife. And she says to me, myself and my husband have been together for over 10 years now. However, we're only married in the last 2 years and we have a child together. Prior to our marriage, we didn't formally live together. Everything happened all at once. Since moving in and getting married, I can't help but notice how selfish and self-centered he really is. I'm a stay-at-home mum by choice because we couldn't keep up with the childminder fees and all of the extra activities, etc. My husband doesn't think I need some me time because I'm home all day, in inverted commas. However, he gets out to work 5 days a week and does his hobbies at the weekend. He's rarely at home. When he is, he complains about how stressful it is. I've lost myself a bit. I don't know what I like to do. I don't have any hobbies, nor do I have many friends, so I don't get the opportunity to go out. His idea of me getting a break is if I go to do the food shopping on my own. I do all of the cooking, the cleaning, the laundry, the shopping, the school runs, etc. I just feel so deflated and unsupported. Every time we talk about it, he makes my views seem invalid and small. I also can't talk to him about concerns I have about our child's additional needs, as he brushes them under the carpet or he says I'm overreacting. I'm unsure what to do. I don't think I have it in me to continuously have the same argument over and over again. How can I make him understand my position? Point being here, are there anybody else, she's asking the question really, within her plea for help, if you like, that have been through this or are going through this or indeed might be able to give some advice? So over to you guys. Text 0868 104 106. And while that's happening, I want to talk to Karen Murphy, the counsellor and psychotherapist. She's based out in Turner's Cross, does a lot of work on relationship issues. Joins me by phone. Karen, good morning. I sent you a copy of that email. Thanks for looking at it. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Neil.
Is this a form of abuse? Is it coercive control? Is it bullying? Sounds like it to me.
Yeah, well, when this email was sent on to me and I was reading through it, and I was thinking about how I would think of this as a couples therapist, and if I was meeting this woman, I'd want to ask her more questions around that. There are symptoms that we see at the end that we would be questioning that could be symptoms that point to this.
Okay, break it down to me. Like what?
Well, when she's saying things like, I don't have many friends, I don't get out much, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I'd be kind of wondering, is there potential for kind of financial control? Is there kind of coercive control? Is she not getting out because of the, kind of behavior of her husband? Or
I would say yes to that. If he says, my idea of getting a break is I do the food shopping on my own, he's kind of saying, that's enough for you.
Well, hold off before you rush into that. So I think it's something that would be very important to check out. Okay, so for this woman, if she's listening, hopefully she is reaching out for support. Okay. I don't know if she has maybe a close family member, if she has a GP she can talk to, but if she is concerned herself, or if she's even wondering if it's in this realm, talk to someone that she trusts, go and get support from domestic violence support services. But before we rush into that, because there are some relationships that are gone very bad, but it may not be to a level of abusive relationship as well. Okay, so I think it's just we don't have enough information to know for certain, but there are aspects there that she's experiencing that definitely that would need to be wondered about.
Okay. You're a lot more measured, and I understand that. I understand why you would be. However, different aspects of this email jump off the page. My husband doesn't think I need some me time because I'm home all day. Sounds as if he's got her trapped in the home.
Yeah, and again, I suppose you and I were probably, we're looking at it from different aspects. Maybe I want to change this a bit because her question is, how can I make him understand my position? So the first point of view...
Talk to him.
Go on.
Talk to him.
The first point of view is, she's struggling. She's really struggling, as per her email. The aspects where that really comes out, she said... She has a child with additional needs. She has no hobbies. She hasn't got many friends. She hasn't got the opportunity to go out. She's lost herself. She doesn't know what she likes to do anymore. So I think, that's something that I would be concerned about, her mood, how she is, how she's feeling. It's really hard to be able to kind of go to someone and have a really good, productive conversation if you're feeling completely depleted. She's in a really helpless and hopeless position. Okay. So if she can at all, and what I will do actually is send through some resources that you can forward on to her, mm-hmm. but is get some support for herself first. Now, there are, what I did say as well in response to this is that there's a lot of aspects of this woman's background that we don't know from her email, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions that may give more context, okay? So... But outside of that, outside of any context, getting some support, getting therapy support, getting support. Are there friends? She said, I don't have many friends, but are there friends that she can go to and say, I'm really struggling. I need to get extra support here. Can you help me out more? Can I talk to you more? Definitely go get some therapy for herself.
How would all of that change her husband's mindset? She says, every time we talk about it, he makes my views seem invalid and small. So she has raised it with him on a number of occasions. So how would helping herself change the way he sees her and treats her?
Yeah, so she said in her email as well, and which is a very valid point, I don't want to have the same argument again and again. Okay, so with her being more resourced within herself, she would have the capacity to be able to approach the conversation differently. So at the moment, we're only looking at what she can influence, what's in her control. So what he does at the moment is outside of her control. But now, and again, as I say, there's a lot here that I want to say in a second with regards to what we don't know, okay? But so how she approaches her husband, because when she says things like he will say, I'm not entitled to me time. I don't know at the moment, kind of, is that being said in an argument where there's a tit for tat going on, and that's said in a very kind of dysregulated state from both of them, because we all say things when we're upset that we may not necessarily mean, or is this how he kind of truly feels and believes the relationship should be? Okay. So
I think I don't think he's coping. They've been together for 10 years, married two, and only living together for the last 2 years. Anytime he's home, which is rare because he works every day and he's got his own hobbies at the weekend, every time he's home, he complains about how stressful it is. This way of life, he's not coping with it. There's a child with special needs. He says it's stressful to be a father and a husband.
Well, I mean, and that's a possible, and this is what I'm saying, we don't have enough information to give a comprehensive, definite response to this, but he is showing, you know, if someone goes into relationships, decides to get married to someone, decides to have a child together, this doesn't sound like maybe the type of relationship that he might have wanted to be in either. But men can have a tendency to more withdraw when they're struggling. So what she's seeing, you know, and again, I don't know, but what she's seeing may be a sign, as you're saying there, of him struggling, but more withdrawing and not having the, you know, again, kind of struggling to have those conversations.
Yeah.
There's things that, and again, even within the email, there was kind of, there's kind of question marks that would lead me to wonder, have they really gone through some difficult situations? Because they had a child together for a long period of time before they lived together or decided to get married. So I'm just wondering. And then it was like since they got married that she said she's realized how selfish he is. So did something change? Did something happen?
They moved in together, isn't it, Karen? They literally moved in. They weren't living together for 8 years.
No, and if exactly.
I know she's listening right now, so I would encourage her to text if there's anything she wishes to clarify. And I understand what you say, that she needs to get help and therapy and counselling. Would you say to build her confidence enough to be able to say to him, well, I'm going out tonight, or I have something on Saturday, so over to you, pal, kind of thing?
Yeah. That's basically it, because it's like at the moment she's very dependent on him doing something different. So I would want to empower her with regards to how she is. So to be able to like that say, like I would be wondering how assertive is she in the relationship? Now, again, assuming, so at the moment we're saying, okay, if this is an abusive relationship, she needs to get help, right? So that's over there. That's very important if that's the case. If this is a case of they've got into a rut, which a lot of couples, like this is not an unusual scenario at all, but is there a way for them both to find their way back to each other and have a better connected relationship,
yeah,
have an intimate relationship, have a connected, have fun, have, and again, we don't have any sense of that from her
email. The fun
email.
Is gone from the relationship. It certainly is, yeah. And even, you know, I know you had some notes put together, in fairness to you, as to why her husband would even have to give her some kind of permission for her own downtime. If you had the two of them in a room, though, because this happens sometimes in your profession, relationships counselling would be with both parties, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, no. I mean, that's what I specialise in is couples therapy. Yeah. So
what would you be? Yeah, what would you be saying in a scenario like that?
Yeah, I would be wondering, like, I would be checking out what narrative they both have going on for them with regards to what's happening in the relationship. So we have a sense of where she's at and how she's feeling. So I would just wonder how, you know, so it's, you'd be checking out, like, is this a man who is struggling, who's saying, I want to have a good, positive, close relationship with my wife, and I'm struggling because of dot, dot, dot. I mean, again, and I put some questions at the end, like, I'm wondering, has she struggled with becoming a mom and that transition? You know, is this a case of that he's kind of at a loss, doesn't know what to do, has completely withdrawn, she's really struggling? I would be asking, you know, him, like, I was like, is this the relationship that you want? Is this how you, are you happy being this way in relationship? Are you happy being out of the house all the time? Are you happy kind of having all your hobbies? Are you, you know, what impact does it have on you when you hear your wife saying she's struggling?
Oh, that's an excellent point, because does that happen sometimes where you could have both parties in there and somebody who is struggling because of the other person's attitude or behavior, he gets to hear her pleas, how she's feeling,
mm-hmm,
and he feels mortified and guilty and changes, is it?
No, well, I mean, what you'd want, again, is try to get them to have more of an honest, real, open conversation. So moving more from the blame and the attack and the you're doing this and you're doing that, but trying to see if we can create a space where she can say, look, this is what's going on for me. I'm really unhappy here. Can he hear that? Then hear what's going on for him, you know? he might be saying, I'm under severe pressure. I'm struggling to make ends meet. I'm working morning, noon and night. Yes, I am going out and meeting my friends the weekend, because at the moment, every time I come home, anything I do, you're saying I'm doing it wrong. I don't know how to deal with that. Yeah. I don't know how to cope with that.
Yeah.
So can they both take some time to really get and understand each other and see, can they work on having a different relationship? So I try to reframe it so that it's not, there's one person to blame and we just focus on that person changing and they'll change and everything will be fine. It doesn't work that way.
But when you try to unravel this and work your way through it, do you find that, say, in this case, it could be a husband who has got learned behavior that he saw with his own mother and father, and their relationship in the home and how that home and household was structured, and he thinks this is the way it was and this is the way it will be?
Well, it's not even necessarily that part of it, but it also is there space for modelling as to how to deal with conflict when it comes up in a relationship? You know, what was the modelling? So from as a child, was there space for him to be able to say, you know, I'm struggling here, I have an issue? Or was he told, well, just shut up and get on with it? You know, I don't know, but how did he learn? Did he have good modelling for how to be in a difficult conversation? I think I said in my email back to you that we tend to kind of believe that we find the right person, we get into a good relationship and we find a good man or a good woman and that's it. Whereas no, we're going to have difficulties and differences. So part of what we have to figure out is to how to navigate and negotiate those difficulties and differences. And then once we can do that, we can work through those difficult times. So, I think I've lost my train of thought.
One final thought, because clock is against me. I have to tell you that I'm seeing texts come in already, and an awful lot of them are saying he needs to be given an ultimatum. Ship up, pal, or you're out. If you don't change, you're out.
Yeah, but like, who's going to ever respond positively to that kind of an ultimatum? You know, at the moment, we don't know his side. You know, she's struggling. But then, and can, like, does she, at the moment, she's very vulnerable. She's a stay-at-home mom. Can she even afford to do that? You know, so there's, yes, I mean, that might be ultimately where she gets to, but I think there'd be a process to go through before getting there to see, is this something that is salvageable? And then also, in this day and age, I meet a lot of couples who actually can't separate because financially they can't afford to.
Well, that's true. That is the financial burden of it. Covered a lot of ground this morning, Karen. Thank you so much. I see text coming in already, which we'll get back to on this after 10. Karen Murphy, counsellor and psychotherapist, in Turner's Cross, karenmurphy.ie. Back after 10, text 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
And I know I'm a little early for this time of the year because it's what, the 16th day of April, but we have a lot to look forward to in the summer with Live at the Marquee. And this week, I'm just doing a little bit of an early dip into concert tickets for gigs at Live at the Marquee. So this week, between now and the end of the week, we have Van Morrison tickets. We have Damien Dempsey tickets. And this morning, we have Bryan Adams tickets. So I got a pair of Bryan Adams tickets to see Bryan Adams Live at the Marquee on Tuesday, the 11th of June. It's even great to be talking about these things. Another herald of the arrival of summer at some stage. So we're going to play a Bryan Adams song sometime between now and midday. Caller 9, when you hear it, wins a set of tickets for Bryan Adams Live at the Marquee on Tuesday, the 11th of June. Text 0868 104 106. Lots of texts and calls. We'll pick them all up after the break.
Call Neil now. 0818 104
106. The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Okay, so a conversation there just before 10 with Karen Murphy, the counsellor, and in some of the notes that she said, if I was to recap, she said one of the first things she says that I do as a couples therapist is to see if the relationship is potentially abusive. She says I would be checking out if there's financial control in a relationship. Does she, in this case, in this relationship, does she not have many friends or hobbies due to that kind of coercive control? Has the relationship got to this point because they're stuck in a rut? Or is there something more sinister going on? Is she afraid of her husband? Does he control her? She says, I'm not getting a sense of this in the email, but they would be important things to check out. And if she had any concerns about this, she would strongly encourage her to get the support and contact support services. But then also she mentioned in conversations with me that you don't have necessarily the full story, certainly not through the prism of the husband and how he's feeling. So I get all of that. She says, myself and my husband together 10 years, only married the last 2 years. We have a child together. We didn't live formally together prior to the marriage, so they're only married 2 years and living together for 2 years. As they say, if you want to know me, come live with me. Anyway, she says, everything happened all at once. Since moving in and getting married, I can't help but notice how selfish and self-centered he really is. So she's calling it out there in that paragraph. I'm a stay-at-home mum by choice because we couldn't keep up with the fees and child minors and all the extra activities. My husband doesn't think I need me time because I'm home all day. However, he gets out to work 5 days a week, does his hobbies at the weekend. He's rarely home. When he is, he says it's stressful. I've lost myself a bit. I don't know what I like to do. I don't have any hobbies. I suppose she's forgotten really what life used to be like and the things that made her joyful. I don't have many friends, don't get the opportunity to go out, and his idea of me going out or getting a break is doing the food shopping on my own. That's just so, so sad. I do all of the cooking, the cleaning, the laundry, the shopping, the school runs. I just feel deflated and unsupported. Every time we talk about it, he makes my views seem invalid and small. I also can't talk to him about concerns I have about our child's additional needs. He brushes them under the carpet, says I'm overreacting. Unsure what to do. I don't think I have it in me to continuously have the same argument over and over again. Here's what you guys are saying. Teresa says, I think a lot of men are man children. The amount of women I know who do all the cooking, cleaning and minding the kids is unreal. Makes me glad I'm single. Trish says, unfortunately for you, you never lived together before the kids came along and you were unable to set a solid foundation as a couple. I don't know how you're going to resolve this situation. Emma says, sounds like he's a narcissist. That word keeps coming up. There's loads of texts using that word. His true colours are being shown just when you got married. Now he has you. It won't be easy, but you need to start the separation process. Audrey says, if you're going unheard, then stop relying on him for your own happiness or your own time out. Take action yourself and make it happen for you. The minute you show him you can do all you do and make time for yourself, you'll have a different partner because they need you as much as they think you need them. Also, maybe take time for each other. Life can take over. Your partner's busy with work, providing you with a home, providing a household and family life. Both of you are doing what you can. Maybe if you both had time together, communication will open for both of you and you can compromise better towards moving forward. Now, that's a very measured and probably sympathetic approach from both sides. I know that I wouldn't be as sympathetic in this case with this character, I can tell you that for sure. But maybe that's why I'm not in the counselling business. Aaron says, clearly a communication issue with the man-child. You don't have much hope trying to talk sense into him. If he's not listening now and complaining, it's only going to get worse. If he's not even interested in the child's needs, surely that says it all. You're only stressing yourself out even more. Jasmina says, take a holiday, pack and go away on your own for 2 or 3 days. Then he'll see how nice and relaxing it is to take care of everything and everyone for 24 hours a day. He'll understand you at least a bit better than if you decide to carry on. The only way you can change is to start by changing yourself. As in, go on a holiday, pack your bags, leave for a couple of days. Keep them coming, and there's many of them. Text 0868104106. I want to talk to Kathleen, who's been listening this morning. Now, Kathleen was the central figure in our podcast, You Couldn't Make This Up. It's available on the Go Loud app and wherever you get your podcasts if you haven't heard it. So she was the central figure in an extraordinary story in her own life. So she would have something to offer this morning with regards to this woman who finds herself, for want of a better word, in a serious rut. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Life is good, I hope.
It is very good, thank God. For once.
What do you make of this email? Do you see? I mean, are there any similarities? Any red flags that you had?
Oh, sure. The whole email is a red flag. I suppose, like not so much similarities, but you can definitely see that it's mental abuse is what he's doing to her, you know what I mean? The gaslighting, making her think like, you know, her, you know, that she's in the wrong and what she's thinking is wrong, and that's mental abuse, what he's doing to her. And of course she didn't live with him, you know, as another person said, she hasn't lived with him, so she hasn't been able to, you know, and establish a relationship properly, you know what I mean, before having kids. And after 15 years then moving in, Like, that's a huge jump. And now she can finally see what he's like full time. You know what I mean? She has him full time now, like she has the kid. Like having another child with him, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So what does she do about it, Kathleen?
Well, I'm very cutthroat. I wouldn't stand for it. I would be gone. I mean, she can probably give him all the ultimatums she wants, but I don't think he's going to change, and I really don't think people like that change at all. Like, these are habits he's had his whole life, I'd say. He's used to his work, he's used to the way life is. Now he's got everybody at home and his little comforts are gone. I think she's going to struggle to change him at this point.
And, he has values that are very, very old-fashioned, and I'm putting that kindly. They are very chauvinistic views. It may have been the case 30, 40, 50 years ago and for 100 of years beforehand, but it is not acceptable now. Nor is it acceptable, in spite of the fact that he goes out to work of a day, it's not acceptable not to pull your weight in cooking and cleaning and laundry and shopping and all of those activities and all of those chores. You have to. You just have to.
Absolutely, because he views like her role in the family as being at home as doing nothing. Like, you can clearly see that by the email. He thinks, and I've actually had it said to me as well. I've had it said to me loads of times by people. Sure, you're at home all day. Sure, 'tis grand. And I'm there going, you have no idea what goes into being at home. It's all day long. It's so stressful with kids and everything that goes with it. You know what I mean? So going to work is the easier option. Yes, work is stressful, but it's nowhere near as stressful as working, 15, 16 hours a day with your kids.
He just sounds like a very unhappy man. Now, a counsellor will say you need to unpick what's going on in his life. Do you give any kind of credence to that?
No, he's a spoiled brat. That's what he is. He's a spoiled brat. He's been spoiled for 15 years. He didn't have to live with his family. He didn't have to deal with the responsibilities. He had his woman when he needed her. And now they're all together. He's like, oh God, I can't just do what I want to do myself. And I can't just, she's asking for things that you'd expect her to ask for, which is time for herself, which she probably hasn't had all along. And now that she has a partner at home, there's the opportunity to have that. And he's going, oh, well, hold on a second, but you're interfering in my life.
Yeah.
He's spoiled. There's no issue there. I don't know, maybe his mother done too much for him. I don't really know, but he sounds like a spoiled brat. I wouldn't be saying that, he's got all these issues. He just gets away with doing what he's doing for so long, and that's the problem.
So is it an ultimatum that's needed then? I mean, she has said every time we talk about it, he makes my views seem invalid and small.
She's probably voicing it, but she's not actually doing anything about it. So she's probably having the same argument over and over again. He's telling her what he needs to say and things go back to normal and she continues doing what she's doing. I do agree with some people. Maybe she should pull back. Maybe say, look, I'm going away next weekend. I know that's not as easy. It's very hard to walk away from your family and stuff like that. But, she needs to kind of do something. She needs to maybe, I don't know, I'd probably be ridiculously harsh and I would put all his washing into the corner and I would leave him do everything when he comes home from work.
And doesn't that also run the risk of the relationship actually completely and utterly disintegrating if it hasn't done already? That would really be winding up.
It probably does, but I'll be honest, Neil, I think this relationship, I don't see how this is going to keep going. The only way it's going to, I don't see it getting any better, because he sounds like, as she said, she's tried numerous times to talk to him and he just keeps dismissing it, even about the child, that might need additional help and stuff like that. She has serious concerns there and mums usually do tend to know best, and he's dismissing that.
Okay, that is bad parenting in that regard. I don't know either what the child's additional needs are, but if they're developmental, say for instance, and he's ignoring it, then he is, to an extent, crippling the child's chances in life.
Absolutely. And I know I do get some parents, they nearly don't want to admit maybe there might be an issue there. But at least if there was a concern, he'd say, look, what we'll do, we'll go talk to our doctor and we'll just see, and because if the child does need help, they need help. You know what I mean? Even I don't know what age they are or whatever is going to happen. But if the child needs additional help, they have to go about it. But if he's not going to allow that, as you said, the child is going to struggle in life. It's like he doesn't want anything just to bother him. Do you know what I mean? This is another kind of nuisance to him.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. Like, everything is a nuisance. Oh, like, you know, looking after the kids is a nuisance. Oh, you know, taking the child, sorting this out. Oh, it's another thing. Because he hasn't had that for 15 years. He hasn't had to deal with the responsibility for 15 years.
So he's not coping. He's not coping. And so then he needs help then, doesn't he? As opposed to sling your hook. He needs help. People who aren't coping. What?
He needs to kick up the butt.
No, but okay. Yeah, and many people are saying that. But if he's struggling to cope, what was it like prior to the marriage? Like, what was their relationship like before they had a child? There must have been something that was attractive.
I wonder as well. Yeah, but this is what I wonder as well. Like, what was the relationship like? She obviously lived with the kids, and you know, she was living with them, and he was living on his own. Did she not see him in the evenings? You know, like, what were they doing? I'd imagine there was issues before they moved in together. Maybe thinking that, like, look, we're married now, we move in together, and everything will be okay. You know, we'll be a family unit. But like, I don't even see how that worked for 15 years having kids and not living together with. Both parents.
I don't know. Myself and my husband have been together for over 10 years, only married two in the last 2 years. We have a child together. I don't know the age of the child. I hope she's listening. She can clarify some points for me. They didn't formally live together for at least 8 years. Everything happened all at once. He's just overwhelmed. Maybe he needs help.
But, like, he's overwhelmed. That's understandable. It is, like, it's a lot. But I think he sounds like he does not want to help. He doesn't, you know, he was happy with his life the way it was. It was nice and easy the way things were. And now it's hard. And he's like, oh, push it back on her.
Yeah. Have you heard the term man-child?
Yeah. Plenty of them around.
Man-child. I have to say, that's a new one on me. Is that, that's a grown adult who never grew up.
Exactly. It's like, that's exactly what I said a while ago. You know, when she moved in with him, she just acquired another child that she now has to look after and argue to do things.
Somebody says by text here before I let you go, is that not the same in every marriage? I mean, hopefully not.
No, it's not. I'll be honest, like, I've seen plenty of relationships very, very similar. And I've also seen plenty of relationships that are absolutely not like that, where both parents are, you know, parenting equally. You know, the father comes home from work and takes the kids for the evening because they're excited to see their kids, and you know, they're happy to see their kids and they want to spend time with them because they've been working all day. So for them, that's nearly a break, you know, coming home and seeing the kids and leaving the mum go off to gym or do whatever they need to do.
Yeah, you think that to be happy to come through the front door, excited to be home, excited to see the child, spend time with the child, play with the child, getting involved, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, but I just feel in this situation, he's just very, very selfish, and he's been used to his own ways for a very long time, and he doesn't want to change them. So he's hoping that she'll just, like, he has her where he wants her. She'll argue. He tells her it's all her fault and she's doing this, that and the other, and this is what she should do and blah, 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 blah. And she's still with him. So he's winning in this situation.
And your advice in a sentence?
I probably sounded really harsh in my comment yesterday. I was like, I would just leave him. I suppose the best thing to probably do would be if she pulled back, maybe give him an ultimatum and say, if this doesn't change, you know, in a few weeks, if I don't see it, I'm calling it, you know.
But who
you can't live like that.
But who leaves? Who leaves? He leaves, isn't it?
Oh, he'd have to leave. Like, now, I don't know their house situation, but if, you know, I mean, if they own a house together, like, she has the kids need a home. I mean, send him back to his mother or something.
Okay. And just, how's life going with you?
Really good. Yeah, really good, thankfully. Everything is great. I can't complain. I've a new partner now myself and everything.
Delighted to hear that. That's great
life
news, Kathleen. I'm glad I found that out. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, it's great. Okay.
Did you get much reaction to the podcast?
Oh my God, so much. I was inundated with messages and, you know, from on Facebook from just lots of people. And I actually ended up like chatting to a lot of women, you know, outside it that I hadn't known before, just with similar situations. Mm. And do you know what? It was amazing to see how many women were actually in very similar situations. It's quite scary, actually.
Wow.
You know?
Okay. But, maybe there's another podcast in that.
Hopefully.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay. it was tough going. I understand that. Listen, good to catch up. Delighted that you're in a good place. Take care, Kathleen.
Lovely to hear from you. Thanks, Neil.
Bye-bye, Kathleen. Bye-bye. Well done. The podcast is called You Couldn't Make This Up. If you haven't heard it, and many, many people have, it was very, very popular when it first went, when it first dropped. But it's available on the Go Loud app and wherever you get your podcasts. You Couldn't Make This Up. It's a bizarre, fascinating story. Text 0868 104 106. Wow, we've covered so much already this morning. Text on that and lots more after these.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Let me just catch up on text from already this morning. Great to hear Neil giving our Gardaí the credit they deserve at a time when people are so quick to bash the Gardaí. It's very much appreciated. Super show as always. A Garda wife. Well, total respect for the way they reacted to the thugs and idiots that engaged in that big fight on Oliver Plunkett Street, the junction of Caroline Street. Myself and my friend were leaving Cypress Avenue to get food when that fight started. Loads of people were videoing one of the men. One of the men smashed my friend's phone out of her hand. She'd paid €90 to get it fixed this morning. Then one took it, so I was pulling them. Hope that makes sense. Somebody took the phone, I suppose. My first time going anywhere in around a year, as I have small kids and my mother's illness is terminal. I don't get out often. Now it looks like I was involved in a fight, even though I was pulling them to get my friend's phone back. Also, in Cypress Avenue, there was a few kids, one around 8 years old. It was supposed to have been an over-18s concert. It's a bad thing when fully grown men smash a woman's phone. The guards even said it. I said I will never, ever go into town again. Actually, just on that point with regards to that texter saying, Karina saying that it was, you know, there was an 8-year-old at the gig and it was over 18s. We got in touch with Cypress Avenue around that. And they did come back and say that there were a number of, Jordan the Rapper's gig. And there was a number of his family backstage that were under 18, but they had gone from the venue by 9 p.m. Of course, Cypress Avenue have no control of what happens outside, you know, the premises. I mean, they have some control about whom they let in. And some of those individuals, if you could judge people by how they look, you know, and how they dress, I know I'll probably get people pushing back on that. But if you see the characters that are fighting, you kind of look at them and you can kind of feel they're liable to kick off, if you know what I mean. But anyway, a lot then on cancel culture. I was telling you that Dawn French feels like a coward now, and she keeps her mouth shut because of cancel culture. A texter says, Neil, I just heard you talking about cowards and that Dawn French felt like a coward. Well, I think you were one. I sent you a text a few weeks ago calling Ukrainian men in Ireland cowards, which they are, and you wouldn't mention the word. You were afraid to say it. No, I wasn't, actually. The reason why I would be even slow to endorse your comment about Ukrainian men here are cowards is that you're making the point that every single male of fighting age, say, that's here, is not in Ukraine fighting, and that's what makes them cowards. And of course, that is a generalization. I'm quite sure that there are some here who don't want to fight and have left because of that. But don't you think that maybe some have other issues or other reasons why? I wonder, is there a world anymore that exists where we could be allowed to be conscientious objectors, where you could be a person that just doesn't want to fight or doesn't want to kill or doesn't believe in war? But anyway, each to their own. Look at what happened to Graham Linehan, the Father Ted creator. He has been cancelled and vilified for calling out the whole trans issue, especially when talking about kids at Tavistock Institute, which has been closed down because of their practices. I'm amazed you never interviewed him. He's brilliant, and because he's outspoken, he too has been cancelled, says Burr. That's a good point. I didn't, and perhaps I should have, and perhaps I should. I think that to some extent, you know, whether it was Graham Linehan, or indeed also if you look at, say, for instance, J.K. Rowling, or even Paddy Cosgrove, what he said about Israel and the behaviour of Israel with regards to Palestine, that would be much more acceptable now. But it was the time in which they said it, you know, that was some years ago. And I think society has moved on now a little bit. I think cancel culture still exists, incidentally, and I think people still feel very slow to make known how they really genuinely feel. But it's changing slowly but surely. You know, you know, 12 months ago, people wouldn't have been as vociferous as they would have been about our borders or lack of control or those that are coming in and the circumstances in which they're here and, you know, the tearing up of passports and the €1 million a month for Ukrainian pets and dogs and all of the hotels and guest houses gone. People are talking more now in that regard. Lots then on consumer issues. I gave you out the top 10 of consumer complaints. Top of the list is air. Now TV is rolling monthly services that gives you all of the Sky channels with no long-term commitment, so you can cancel any time. This is, of course, to do with Sky and Sky's behaviour. Morning, Neil. My trigger word for companies who fob me off when I'm in touch with them is, I will escalate this to your board of directors. I have escalated several times to the CEO office, and it always gets sorted within days. Also, with the introduction of traffic light cameras, how many of your listeners will now pass through red lights to facilitate emergency services? UK drivers are being prosecuted for doing this as it is, says Eddie McCroom. 2 points there. One, that we will soon... I shouldn't say soon, it'll probably take years to have cameras in all of our traffic lights, so you'll be caught and the reg will be caught. The other, of course, is with regards to consumer complaints. I used to work for Sky. Tell your man to downgrade to a basic package if it's only till August and just pay for the basic package. It's not worth the hassle of a few months arguing with Sky. For anyone with a longer contract, just call up, change your address and your contact number, and then cancel the direct debit. They have no way of getting hold of you and no way of finding you. It's an interesting point from an ex-Sky employee. Interesting, the three electrical product retailers make your top 10 list. Yes, they do. That would be Harvey Norman's, Currys, and Power City in the top 10. Tell that man to log a complaint on the Sky portal and ask for a complaint reference number. I wanted to cancel Sky as it got way too expensive. Two advisors told me it's not possible and that it needs to stay in place until the contract is up in September. I asked that surely there was an option for an early termination fee to be paid, but I was told no. I checked with Comreg and logged the complaint directly with Sky. Asked them for a reference, as I was planning on escalating my complaint to Comreg. A lady rang me that evening and cancelled everything without any charge. So they can do it. Much of this started this morning with a similar issue within my own family. When I say family, my brothers and sisters, my father, where we took out Sky for him and he passed away and asked the guy to cancel it and they refused. My dad passed away 17 months ago and we were trying to get all of his finances sorted and change all the utilities into my mum's name. We discovered that my dad was paying €35 a month to air for a mobile phone number that was never activated for 8 years. We called them and got about it and got zero satisfaction. We think he must have thought it was for the house phone he was paying for. We asked them how they could keep it rolling over and over every year, and they couldn't answer. And they couldn't give a tuppenny, and there's no hope of getting any money back. It's sickening, particularly how we were treated by air. Morning, still having trouble with Sky. I cancelled last year. They're still taking the money from my direct debit at €35 a month. And there's loads more, particularly with regards to Sky. I wanted to cancel an elderly parent's landline because she was hard of hearing, and due to the cost of it and the non-use, I got through to customer service and was sent a form to cancel. On the form, it wanted a reason as to why I was cancelling and to provide documentation of proof to explain the reason. How dare they? I have every right to cancel without explaining. Paddy says, I have Sky with Sky Movies at €28 a month. It's with no contract because it's at Now TV. Why would anyone sign a contract with Sky for more money? It doesn't make sense. And a final one. I was with Sky. We had to move home last year over a no-fault eviction and I tried to cancel Sky. They told me I couldn't cancel as I had a contract with them. I paid it up to last month, which is this month, and this month I told Sky I would never, ever use them again. So there's that and lots more besides with regards to people talking about consumer issues. And then the unfortunate or misfortunate woman living under the flyover in Douglas. I just spotted that woman with the three trolleys in Douglas Court right now. It's very sad. Why don't you get on to Micheál Martin and tell him about this woman living under the bridge to see if there's any compassion, as he asked you to have in his interview with you. Well, I'm quite sure that, all I can say about that, I don't know about whether Micheál Martin has had a conversation or is aware of it, or any TD is aware of the woman living under the bridge, but we did contact her. Seamus did go out, but she just did not want to engage. So some people just really want to be left alone. Anyway, text 0868 104 106. Calls on the way. Let's start with Edwina. Edwina, good morning. Thanks for holding. Can you hear me okay? Okay, it's not happening, lads. Back after the break.
Call Neil now. 0818-104-106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Somebody else summed it up by saying, I'm paying €110 per month for basic television through Sky. I also pay for broadband. €110 per month, loads of channels and nothing to watch. Text 0868-104-106. I see a lot also coming in on apprenticeships. I'd love to chat with people on that. Certainly people going through apprenticeships, or those who dropped out, or, you know, people who maybe came through it and now have a great life having gone through the apprenticeship, which is now taking longer than ever before. Text 0868-104-106. But online, it's amazing the things, how you can push people's buttons online. We posted some photographs of, I'll come back to the relationship again, I promise you, there's loads on that. But we posted some stuff there on social with regards to potholes. It was just bizarre, the amount of photographs people have been sending me with regards to the potholes in their own area. It goes from bad to worse in a country that's got loads of money. Edwina, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
And we,
yes?
And we were
can
looking,
you hear me?
Yeah, we were looking for Cork's worst road or Cork's worst pothole. It's gone from potholes now to sinkholes, as in where the yeah. road literally collapses. But thank you for your photograph. It's from what? Drina, is it?
No, it's between Lepp and Skibbereen.
Okay, it says here you're back and forth to Drina, okay, to a holiday home in that area. Okay,
between, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, my mother was from Drina, and I've been going since I was a baby, so okay. I won't say how long that was, okay. but
But you do say you were a woman of a certain age, you say.
That's right, yes,
so,
and more.
Yeah, so you drove into very deep hole.
I was coming back from walking my dog at Rinnean Woods, which is between Lepp and Skibbereen. And I was taking, it's a side road, but it's a well-frequented road. And there was this big puddle, and I just drive through the puddle.
Oh, no.
But it wasn't a puddle.
No.
It was a very large pothole. I mean, I've measured it with my boots because I stood in it, and it must have been about 8 inches deep.
And you do think it's just water, surface water, but of course it wasn't. Now, what kind of damage was done?
Well, I carried on for a little bit, but then the warning light came on to tell me that one of my tyres had gone, so I had to pull over. And, flat as a pancake, the tyre was. Luckily, I put my hazard lights on, and these two men came along in the car, and they stopped, and they helped me.
Because you said, being a lady of a certain age, there was no way that you could change the wheel. Did you ever change a wheel or a tyre?
Oh, I have in the past,
right.
When I was younger, yes. But now they put them on, you know, it's with pressure, isn't it?
That's
when
it.
They put the nuts on.
They
have
this pneumatic job.
Just...
So are you lucky enough to have a spare wheel?
Yeah, but it's one of these temporary ones you can only drive a few miles on. But anyway, the two men, they managed to get the wheel off and put the spare on. And I drove into Skibbereen, and another very nice man put a new tyre on for me. So that was €109 later.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the general cost of a tyre, €109 fitted?
I wouldn't really know what it is in Ireland. My tyres for my car are about £100, yes.
Each?
Yeah,
okay.
Each.
Okay, oh, just curious. But subsequent to that then, what's the story with the severe back pain?
Well, I'd been having a bit of pain in my back, but then the following day, it got really, really bad. And my daughter had to take me into South Dock in Bantry, the out of hours, to see the doctor there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said it was probably exacerbated by the jolt that I got when I went down into this pothole.
Were you badly shook then, physically shook as you hit that pothole?
Oh, Oh, yes, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, well, then he's
joke.
Right. Yeah,
it wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you go sort of, yeah, it really shook me up.
And but, are you still in pain?
No, well, I was given medication by the doctor, and that's helped. That's eased the pain. So I'm okay now. I'm back in the UK. And, yeah, but the another thing, I don't know if it's connected or not, but a warning light's come up on my car for the ABS light.
Anti-braking system.
Yeah, that's come up, and I'm going to have to take my car into the garage because I don't know whether it's connected with the jolt that it's...
Probably is. It's probably done damage. Yeah. It probably is. That impact has probably done other damage, and the warning light is telling you that. You know, there would be people listening to this who in the past have sued Cork City Council or Cork County Council. If you have a photograph, if you have a photograph of the ruined tire or the wheel rim,
if you
have a receipt for the tire that you had to buy, if you have doctor's receipt, if you have a prescription receipt, you might even be able to take an injury claim against Cork County Council. They're responsible for
When the men were mending, you know, taking the wheel off, another man came by and he stopped to see, you know, are you all okay? And I explained what had happened and he said, oh, I know that pothole. He said, it's by that green cabinet. He said, that's been reported more than once. He said, you can put a claim in for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's been reported.
And you should, Edwina.
I will, yeah. I've been researching how I can get on and do the claim.
Well, I'll tell you what, let me find someone who's listening who has actually done that and what's involved in it, but you should claim, particularly if it's already been flagged as a pothole and nothing's been done. Somebody's going to be killed. Yes. If you were driving at speed, you could have ended up in a ditch, the car could have flipped, you could have broken your neck.
Yes, true. But I want to give a shout out to the two men that helped me. They told me that they came from Union Hall, and one of them said he was a chef and he worked at the dock wall. Have you heard of that?
Well, I know of Union Hall, and the dock wall must be a restaurant in Union Hall. So a shout out to those chivalrous gentlemen who came to your aid. Well done, guys. Well done.
I believe through the power of Facebook that one of them is called Kieran Woods.
Well done, Kieran
Woods.
Well done.
And
well
I
done.
Think he's head chef there or whatever, but they were brilliant.
Okay,
brilliant.
Nice to hear that and good to give a shout out. Do stay in touch if you decide to look for compensation to which you're entitled for. Do you have potholes in the UK?
Oh God, yes. Yes, it's a big talking point here as well. I mean, when I came over to West Cork, I thought, oh, I'm going to get away from all this politics and war and potholes. And it's the same in...
I know.
Same with you.
People's needs are quite similar. Thanks, Edwina. Mind yourself. Stay in touch and let me know if there's an update to that story. Let me get a quick call on this side of 11. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm good, my brother. I'm good. Big response. Well, it's not potholes now, it's sinkholes as well. There's a sinkhole down in Liam Lara to Glanmire. Anyway, go ahead. You were driving Lord Glanmire.
Well, because I was driving on the Lord Road there about 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Down towards the new bridge. And she went into this pothole. And it split the two tires.
Both front or front left and right left or whatever? Which ones?
Front left and back left.
Back left, right.
They cut the tube, right?
Yeah.
Well, she phoned me, she said, what am I going to do? And I said, the best you can do now, I said, take a photograph of it and phone the guards. And the guards came out and they looked at it and they took a note of it and she went into the city council. And they reimbursed her for the two tires.
What, like she walked up to the counter or went into reception? What did she do?
Oh, yes. She got the receipt for the two tires and they reimbursed her.
And did she have to have some kind of report from the guards? If she hadn't had a guard report?
She did. Yeah, she had that.
Did they ask for that?
Oh, yes. The evidence was there. And the guard report, to see how could they go again that?
No, but did they look for the guard report? Because was that necessary to get paid by City Council for the two tires?
Oh, yeah, she had it on in front of her.
All right, Okay. How long ago was that? 5 years ago.
Well, about 5 years ago.
So
yeah.
if you have a photograph, did you take photograph of the pothole, the crater as well? Yeah.
Oh my God! I tell you, an elephant has fallen into it.
Really, a crater.
Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth.
Okay.
When it's split into tiles, that was bad.
Okay. And what did they? How much did they pay up for the cost of what?
Well, for the area bus, for the price of the two tiles.
Okay, no, I just need to know so the other people know. And do they give a check on the day, or do you have to wait for it, or what happens?
Post it out.
Okay, but you did get it, the price of the two tiles.
Yeah, she did. But phone the guards is the main thing.
Well, some would say phoning the guards because of a tire is a bit of wasting guard. It could be deemed as wasting guard of time, no?
Well, wouldn't you see, because you're holding up traffic. It's a danger.
Fair enough. Good point. Thanks, Dan. Text 0868104106. On apprenticeships, if you're wondering why you can't get somebody from the trades, our lad is a second-year apprentice carpenter. First year, wages work out at €6 an hour. For second year, he spent 4 months in Tralee, €140 a week for digs. Next year will cost €1,000 to send him to college. No wonder they're dropping out of apprenticeships. They're paid really badly as apprentices. My daughter is currently doing an apprenticeship 2 days a week in MTU and 3 days a week in a pharmaceutical company. It's a QC lab apprenticeship. I highly recommend it. She has the best of both worlds, learning as she goes while studying. The company pays her a good wage and also pays for all of her education. It's a pity secondary schools don't suggest this to Leaving Cert boys and girls apprenticeships as an option. There are lab apprenticeships in pharma, lab apprenticeships in the food industry, and MTU give excellent opportunities. Another texter then saying, apprentices earn less than minimum wage. I know of a lad in his second year electric, and he's still waiting for FOSS. It can take up to 18 months before he gets a position with FOSS. This is why it's not attractive to young people. If the government make a minimum wage, why are the apprenticeships being paid less than minimum wage? I know they're learning, but this is what the country needs. Apprentices who will become tradespeople. So while they're apprentices, pay them properly. Keep them coming. Text 0868104106. Pick up the phone on 0818. 104 106. You know that relationship email that I read out this morning? I've read it out twice, so I won't read it out a third time, but she certainly seems to be really and truly going through a very difficult time in the home with her husband. Helen says, it's true when they say, come live with me and you'll find out who I am, or words to that effect. You should have moved in with him first before you got married. You need to get out before he gets intimidating and overpowering. He knows he has all of the control. Shannon says, first of all, if he's getting out 5 days a week, yes, maybe it's work, but he's still interacting with other people who are not kids. It's a full-time job being a stay-at-home mum. If you switch roles with him, believe me, he would understand. But that isn't going to happen where he's going to give up his job, is it? And she goes out to work. I mean, maybe it happens, but I'd say that'd be rather the exception. It's about balance, really, and it's about everybody pulling their weight. Unfortunately, some men think minding their own children is babysitting for the mother. It's just you have a babysitting job. If he's not willing to give you an hour to yourself in the evening time, then that's just pure selfish. Can you take turns at the weekend? He takes one day, you take the other. Relationships have to work both ways. Another one, these are his kids as well. Marriage and parenthood is a partnership. Just because he has a job does not take him off the parenthood wagon. I don't understand men like this. I would suggest you find your own hobbies. I would suggest you find your own time for me time. He needs to get on with the program. Being a mom is the hardest job in the world. I admire mums at home with 2+ kids. All I say is that you cannot choose to be a part-time dad. It has to be 50-50. And Ashling says, tell him, get out. Let him feel what life is like without you for a change. If he doesn't come crawling with his tail between his legs, then live your life free and happy. Fast call this side of midday, if you don't mind, because this side of 11, I should say. Nora, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm good. Have you claimed for damage?
Yes. Yeah, I was just saying there to Claire that I claimed to go back a couple of years ago. It was probably about 6 years ago.
How many?
I hit a pothole about 6 years ago.
Six, okay.
I claimed first, yeah. And then there about 2 years ago, I hit a pothole like that. Now I was just on a bend And when I rang them, they said to me that the system had changed because I sent in the picture of the pothole. The picture would always say the pothole, the rim of the tyre and the receipt. And they sent out a form, I filled it in and I sent it all off. Then they said the system had changed in for the next one, that I had to take a picture of the ESB pole. There's a number actually on the ESB pole. So I had to take the picture of that and send that on, and I got the money back. But the one thing she did ask me was, she said, was there a yellow or a white mark on the pothole? And I said, no. And she said, if there was, you won't be able to claim back, because that's basically telling you there's actually, it's letting you know that it's warning. So that's what, if you actually are driving along the road and you see like what? Yellow markings of spray paint around the pothole. Yeah. And that's what she told me.
Well, so somebody goes out with a spray can and they spray a yellow line around the pothole, a circle around the pothole.
You'll see those. As I said, that's now the amount of people will actually see it.
So somebody employed. Why don't they just fill the
Why don't they fill the pothole?
Why don't they fill the pothole? Rather, have they somebody that's employed to go out? Is it a kind of a, I am the yellow spray painter around the pothole man or woman?
There's a load. You'll see all country back roads. You'll see a load of rims around. Pothole.
Oh, so they've given up really on filling them now. They're just spraying and lines them around them. Yeah. So
even if you see them doing the potholes in the roads, they're only scooping out the water and they're only packing in the stuff, then should it's like only filling it out.
It's useless. It's beyond useless.
So the first shower rain comes, it's gone.
And do you see many of these yellow painted potholes? Potholes that are, and they don't get around to ever filling them, no?
No, there's ones around my area, and I'd say at least 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
But you know where they are now, so you know you're going to avoid them, like.
So you
but
claimed
there is yellow rings around them, like.
I've never seen. Yeah, I must. And can you see them at night? Yeah.
You wouldn't see it at night because it's only yellow spray. So you're going into it.
So you claimed off Cork County Council.
Yeah, it took me ages because I had to go back. The area where I hit the pothole in. So it took me nearly about 3 weeks to get back to the area to get the number of the DSP pole.
Okay, but you got paid out twice.
Yeah, I got paid out twice. I got the rim, my rim, and I got the tire not paid out.
All right.
I'd keep on it, whereas
you're like a dog with a bone, Nora. Fair play.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot. Back after 11. Text 0868104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Yeah.
Conversation that matters.
Get involved in the show, courtesy of ourselves, the Neil Prendeville Show, and Mercedes-Benz Cork. Now, sometime between now and midday, you're listening out for a Bryan Adams song. He plays live at the Marquee Tuesday, the 11th of June. Lots to look forward to, of course, in Cork across the summer. Amongst them, Live at the Marquee with a great lineup. So today we'll give away some tickets for Bryan Adams. Tomorrow, Van Morrison. And on Thursday, Damien Dempsey. It's just a kind of a taster of things to come. I'll have lots more to give away. It's the middle of April, but why not give away some now so we have something to look forward to? So caller 9 when you hear a Bryan Adams song. Pick up the phone, 0818 104 106. 2 tickets for the Live at the Marquee gig. Where would I go with all these texts? Let me just stay actually with the relationship conversations from earlier this morning. And I hope that the lady who sent it in to me is listening. I hope you are listening. Please come back and let me know you're hearing everybody talking and perhaps trying to give you some sage advice. I hope you're not finding it overwhelming or confusing. In confidence, Neil, can you give my number to that lady who sent the email if she'd like to meet up for a coffee with the kids? I have kids too. I'm going through very similar responses from my husband, and I would love to lend her an ear and reach out to her. Yes, I think that would be a wonderful thing. It's good to chat. It's good to have friends that you can turn to. And sometimes the ear of, say, for instance, in inverted commas, a stranger who can have an amount of impartiality and, not know the couple involved, that could also work very well. And also added to the fact that you're going through something similar yourself. Her husband doesn't think she needs me time because she's at home all day, whereas he is to go out to work. When he comes home, then he's totally stressed out. You're probably getting the impression from me that I'm not very tolerant of the man's behavior, because I'm just not. He says that her idea of getting a break is to do the food shopping on her own. He doesn't pull his weight in any way, shape or form. Every time she tried to talk about it, he belittles her. He makes her views seem invalid and small. If they have a child with additional needs that needs help, He's brushing it under the carpet. Says he's over. She's overreacting. That's gaslighting, of course. She's unsure what to do next. He's selfish. He's self-centered. He's a narcissist. Anyway, I'll stop. That lady needs to get a job and share the responsibilities. Have her own life, her own money. She doesn't know what could happen down the road. They could get separated or anything like that. And she needs to have independence and provide for herself. The same goes for him. He should share more responsibility for the children. Don't get mad, get even. And I don't mean that in a malicious way. Yeah, the scales are very much unbalanced. I love the point there where you say you need to have your own life and your own money. This may come as a surprise to some people, but many years ago, and remember chatting with the one and only Lana O'Connor about this on the air. We were sharing the story because we were chatting about women in the home years ago. Is it still happening to this day? Used to have a thing called running away money. Did you ever hear that, Claire O'Connor? Yeah, running away money. It was kept and it was added to on a weekly basis. It was like an almost like a little manage that a woman would have where she would add, I don't know, might have been in the day a few shillings or, you know, whatever the case may be, a few euro or a few pounds. On a weekly or a monthly basis, anything that you could put aside to build up a stash of money in the event that she would ever need to get out. Very sad, isn't it? But that was a fact, and I'm sure there are people listening to me actually will agree with me. There was a thing called running away money. Many had. I don't know that my mother ever had running away money, for instance, but I'm quite sure that way back in the day that there certainly would have been mothers in, you know, maybe Blackpool or maybe in Beaumont and areas like that who did have running away money, because they felt that, you know, this relationship is not a good one. It could get worse and I need to have some sort of get out of jail card, and it was running away money. Do you agree with me, lads? Text 0868104106. Hi, Neil. I'm a married dad of three. It sounds like your listener is in a relationship with someone who watched his mother do it all when he was growing up and now thinks that that's the norm. I could be wrong, but he's probably oblivious to how he is making his wife feel. The reality is that she's in a situation where she feels as if she will end up on her own with the child if she speaks up to him. But it sounds like she's pretty much doing it all on her own anyway. She needs to rise up and put the foot down with him. Don't ask him, tell him. And if he doesn't like it, maybe it's time to reevaluate her situation and make some changes. The most important thing is that something has to change and she needs to take action in some way, shape or form, or she will remain a prisoner in her own mind. Can't go on air, but I hope this helps. I would stress that she needs to dig deep and be firm in whatever she decides to do. Thank you, says Luke, by text to 0868104106. It's a bit like the old Einstein saying, isn't it? You know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting things to change is the first sign of madness. As in, if you allow things just to repeat themselves, rinse and repeat, ultimately, it'll just go from bad to worse. Call's on the way.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
If they weren't so serious, they'd be funny, lads. They really and truly would. One or two here. I'll list off some of them, actually. North Cork, Mallow, Fermoy, Mallow, Mitchelstown. Potholes, craters, sinkholes. NASA wouldn't drive their lunar buggies on them. They're so bad. Other areas then that people are flagging to me this morning, just to lay them on you. Proby's Quay down to UCC. Shocking. Douglas, Ballinlock. The list goes on. Fermoy, particularly the main street, an absolute disgrace. Council wasting money in putting bigger footpaths in when they could be resurfacing and fixing our roads. Liam Lara, a panel fell off the left-hand side of my car driving through a sinkhole. Well, I suppose it probably was, maybe it was. Who will compensate? Fool me. Well, you're not the fool. You're expecting, because you're paying your way, to have proper roads to drive on. But at least you have dash cam video footage. Get the repair done and claim. And again, the pets from Ukraine get blamed for everything. And I understand people's annoyance, because that possibly, well, I don't think it's the last straw. There never is the last straw with the Irish, or there's not. But if the government gave councils the money they spent on bringing pets from the Ukraine, they could fill all the holes, even the holes in the empty heads in the doll. Other ones then, in Scotland, did you know, they started putting plastic ducks into the potholes to prove a point. Yeah, and John actually sent me a screen grab of a plastic seal, the upper body portion of a seal sitting in the middle of a pothole. It's funny to look at, but way too serious to just kind of say, oh, that's lovely, let's drive around it. That is and all of the photographs that people have sent, different people. I mean, it's just bizarre. Time after time after time, and I picked this subject up. Loads of photographs and loads of people talking about it. Anyway, let me get back to one or two calls on this. Line one. Kieran, good morning.
Hi, Neil. How are you getting on?
Not one, but two tire blowouts. What happened?
I was in the top of Spring Lane on Paddy's night. I was dropping my sister home, and I was coming to a full stop, and next time I heard bang, bang, and I went, oh, it's definitely gone. So I just got myself out onto the main road by Glenline Fitted Furniture, and I looked at their dash, and I said, pull the car in. So I pulled the car in, and I said, will you have a quick look outside? My sister, and she said, yeah, you're definitely blown out here on the front. And I said, how's the back? She thought it was okay. So I said, look, there's no spare tire in this car. I said, I'm going to have to call for assistance. So I had just changed my insurance company for first time in years. So I had to ring. I think I am now with Unpost. So I rang Unpost from the side of the road. Within, believe it or not, within 25 minutes, there was a truck out.
All right.
Guy got out. He says, you're in bad luck there. He says, the back tire's gone as well. And I said, for flip's sake.
Yeah.
So truck was pulled off the road. And a cab was pulled up onto the truck. And there was a taxi call for me. All paid for by the insurance company now. Well, I suppose I paid it myself from my premium.
Yeah, but in fairness, it was fast, it was efficient, and a taxi.
Was, yeah. I reckon within an hour and 15 minutes, I was at home.
Okay, yeah.
You know, which was fantastic, really. I did send my brother-in-law up to take pictures the following day. I drove up myself on my motorcycle. I did a couple of days later and took some more photographs. And sent them off. I reckon I sent them off maybe 2.5 weeks ago. I went in actually with them and handed them.
Dad, you went into City Hall, is it? What do you do? Just into the main desk, is it?
Just went into the main desk, gentleman inside, just took the envelope off me. He said, Kieran, just look in here now. He said, at the end of the day, they'll all be taken and they'll be given to the departments in the City Hall. So I have heard nothing yet.
Okay, but this was when? Only. Well, no, St. Patrick's weekend is a fair time ago.
Well, that was the last. It was the last second last weekend. But I actually, me being in the wheelchair, sometimes it's hard for me to get around, Neil. And I went into the City Hall car park thinking I could get a wheelchair bay in there one day, and I ended up driving back out because there was no place there for me, and there's no parking on the main street outside. So I had to leave it go for another week, and that went on for another week. But I had from the tire company a receipt. To say tires damaged from pothole, and I had the pictures, so hopefully that's enough. If they want insurance information, I suppose I can give them that as well.
They may ask for a photograph of the nearest ESB pole number or something. Apparently that's the latest. But they do pay out, though, to give them their due. Now, they'd save an awful lot of money if there was less holes, but they do pay out when people produce the evidence.
Well, Neil, I spotted a hole yesterday somewhere, and I said, I was coming up from Ringaskiddy. I was coming up out of Ringaskiddy after being at a funeral, and the first big run about there by Pfizer's, there was a hole in the middle of the road. And all I said, if there's a motorcycle hits this, he's dead.
We forget about people on two wheels on a motorbike. It's game over. It's game over.
Yeah, out in the middle of the road. You know, and I said, if a motorcycle hits this now, I said, he's over the handlebars in 2 minutes.
I mean, it is very bad. I mean, it's like as if I'm on the air talking in the 90s or the noughties. We were talking about potholes, and they go from bad to worse. Let me know if they pay out on that, right? But just to remind people, I'm actually talking to the one and only Kieran Kramer, who suffered. You got a, when I spoke sepsis. To you about it, it was sepsis from a horsefly bite, wasn't it, if I remember?
Right, sepsis from a horsefly bite, yeah.
Were you out walking the countryside, or what was the story again?
No, it was through COVID, and the music had stopped, so I was doing a few hours with DHL driving a van, and I was just out delivering. My pair of shorts on a lovely summer's day. Yeah, it's one of the nice days we probably had here.
Yeah.
Caught me in the back of my calf, and a couple of days later, I'm in a coma.
So did you feel the bite and everything?
I did. I remember the sting. I remember flicking her off me, going, that flicker's after getting me. You know, are they
big feckers, the horse fly? They're bigger than a normal fly, are they?
Well, you know, you're a doctor fly or a horse fly, you know. Yeah, they're lit, I suppose they'll be as big as a blue bottle, as we say.
Okay, big fly. Yeah, so you noticed it and took no notice after that. What happened next?
Oh, I took no notice, and my son phoned me a few days later. I'd went to bed with a back pain, I think, around 2 o'clock one afternoon, and the following night at 9 o'clock, he called his sister to say, "I can't wake Dad up." I'm sure I was upstairs. That was it. I was shifted in, and sure, look, the rest is history. I was 12 months in hospital.
6 weeks in ICU, 9 operations.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty much at one stage, you were checking out.
Yeah. Wanted to take my leg, and in the meantime, asking my family, and, you know. But look, I'm doing great. Yes, I'm in a wheelchair. I can get myself from, say, 30 feet with a walker. From gymming it and swimming, and I do all this kind of thing just to keep myself strong, you know. I'm on lots of medication, I am, and lots of pain relief all the time. I'm on about 14 tablets a day for pain.
But how are you coping mentally, or, you know, psychologically, with that change?
The one thing about the National Rehab is there's everybody up there, from psychologists to counsellors, and you get every treatment, you know. Even down here, I went to Stainsky Head Road on the board, and I met a counsellor every second week, and this is great for the head, really is, you know. So I know myself, I'm over the worst of it now. I know that I'm coping with everything now, thanks be to God.
Will you walk again?
Without an aid, definitely not. No, I can do the short distance, as I say, of 20 or 30 feet, but that's it, max.
But do you not feel bitter about this? Why me? Bloody horsefly.
Oh, yeah. Look, you know, I suppose at the start I'd say, why me? But why anybody, Neil? You know, why anybody? There's a lot of people a lot worse off than I am out there, you know.
I know. And I mean, you're being very, very positive about it. And I have respect for you for that, you know. I really do.
Yeah.
Because something like that to change your life, like overnight.
You know, you just get on with things. You get on with things. You know, you've not a choice.
Yeah,
you know, the people sick and dying every day. You know, I've been down to the crematorium this year. I'm not joking. At least 8 times.
I know.
Young people dying.
I know. That's the circle of life. But it's a tough hand to be dealt, nonetheless, though, Kieran.
Yes, it is. It is. But you know, you get on with things. You know, I'm heading off my sister and her husband to Malta in 2 weeks' time, and something to look forward to.
Great,
you know,
spot,
probably
going, Malta. You love
I'm
it.
Probably going to the hilliest country in the world, but sure, look, you know, hopefully there's plenty of taxis to get me around.
But tell me this, did you say that you have, that people with disabilities or wheelchair, motorists, have difficulty finding somewhere to park?
All the time, Neil. Now, I suppose, you know, when I was back, not in a wheelchair, you'd often go into town, you said, geez, look at that empty space there, and there's a wheelchair in another car. That's what I'm just finding, like, you never get a space. Never.
Is it because there's not enough of them, or people with chairs are parking there too long, or other people are parking there? What?
Look, it's probably that. It's, you know, it's probably people using mommy or daddy's blue card, and they're, you know, and heading off to work and leaving their car there for the day.
Yeah. Have you ever had to say it to anybody, listen, you shouldn't genuinely be parking there?
I once, and, you know, I suppose I was probably fairly angry at the time. I was down in Rochestone, in the petrol station in Rochestone, and I had pulled into the bay next to the wheelchair spot because my son needed to get something. So I said, I'm not taking up a wheelchair bay, you know. So I'm sitting in the car, and, you know, this taxi pulls in, and this girl gets out of the taxi and heads into the shop. So I raised knee enough, I blew the horn when my window down, and I looked over to the driver, and I says, I said, you're in a wheelchair bed, eh? And he says, I know, I have a wheelchair, I've passed. But I said, are you a wheelchair user? And he says, no, but I do have to. I said, are you getting out of the car? I said, if you're getting into a wheelchair, use it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're getting out of the car...
He felt that because he had the badge saying it was a wheelchair taxi entitled him to park. It doesn't entitle him.
And I just left the road. I said, I have a wheelchair in my booth, and I haven't taken up that spot, I said.
Yeah.
You know, but look, you know. there's lots of people out there like that, yeah, there is.
All right, my man, I'd say we'll get other calls now from people who are in a similar situation who also have traffic issues, not traffic issues, but parking issues. But listen, it's great to talk to you, Kieran.
You too, Neil, and I'll keep in touch. I'll let you know if I do get paid.
When the cheque arrives in the post, when it hits the front mat, let us know.
I will indeed.
Cheers, pal. Take care.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Okay, disability issues regarding parking. Pick up the phone 0818 104 106. Text 0868 104 106. I'll do some more of the texts from the relationship issue email from earlier on this morning. But with the best will in the world, I should have stayed in touch a lot more than I did with Marie Coleman, who was building her own home. She was looking after the build herself, and she was on the air, of course. And if I remember correctly, the whole idea here was that she was building it on land next to her parents' home, got her own mortgage, and decided to do it all directly herself, engage all of the different trades. So she, I suppose, if you like, was the foreperson, the person in charge, the site manager, all that kind of thing, maybe the general dog's body as well. But I'm happy to say that the job is now pretty much complete. She joins me by phone. Marie, good morning.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm great. If I remember the last time we spoke, which was last year, the idea was to be in for Christmas. Like everything, these dreams don't always necessarily work out. You didn't make Christmas.
No. Like, I was totally naive to think that I could have been in before Christmas, being honest, Neil. And I kind of knew by the end of November, obviously, the end of November, I sure I didn't get power until the 19th of December. Like, everything just takes so much more time than I thought it was going to take.
Yeah, it's like anything. People, even if you're if you're buying a house in an estate and it's a new build and there are phases going up, they'll give you a general time, but it's never accurate and it's never early. But you're in now.
But do you know me saying that I was going to be in before Christmas, I think kept me in a positive mindset, do you know?
Yeah.
It kind of kept me driving it on. So yeah, I'm in since Good Friday. So just over 2 weeks now.
Any time during that, this is going back, 2 years now, I suppose, if not more. Is any time
I went for planning in June.
Okay, and through all of that journey, was there any time when you kind of said, oh my God, this was a calamitous mistake?
Yeah.
More than once?
Yeah, like there was a few days where were tough, you know, where you're trying to line up the next person after whatever the other trades person has been in, or like there now in the last kind of hall where the finishing touches, where I needed the plumber and electrician and the kitchen fitter all kind of 1 week. So those were really tough, but at the same time, the people around me have been amazing. Like they have been just, I wouldn't have been able to have done this without them guiding me, being honest. Mm. So it was worth it then. You know, we might have had a bad day, but all the good days outweighed that. Like.
And it's just the timing as well. I was thinking this morning, your timing couldn't have been worse with all of the costs going through the roof. Mm. They were blaming COVID, then it was the war in Ukraine and God knows all of the stuff like that.
Yeah, there was no control over it.
So was it like, did it come in on cost or did it go crazy?
Well, it probably was over budget, being honest, but I will say this. The cost of materials have got down since COVID. Like, so there was no control of them going up, but it has stepped back an awful lot in the 2 years that I've been building.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have been able to build a house 4 years ago, like 100%. So
it could have been worse timing then.
It could have been way worse. And I suppose a lot of it as well was what I put into it myself, like the extra bit for the kitchen. I wanted quartz. So I was like, right, look, I know it's going to cost more than I had budgeted for, but I would have regretted if I didn't put it in. So that was kind of my own choice then at the end of the day, like, you know.
It must be amazing to be walking around the rooms and the entire house of your own design and layout. There must be a fierce sense of satisfaction in that, is there?
Yeah, like, I honestly still feel like I'm in a dream. Like, I feel I'm minding the house for someone at the moment. Like, it just does not feel like it's my house. Like, it's like a dream. It's like as if I'm in a summer house or something. So it's unbelievable. I am absolutely delighted. I really am. I'm over the moon.
And all of the trades, were they all efficient? I mean, I don't mean just throw anybody under a bus, but were there any kind of, was the plumber a problem, the electrician, was it the carpenter, was it the stonemasons, the brickies, no?
I've just been so lucky, like, and I really don't think tradesmen get enough credit for the work that they do, like, and I mean that, like, the skill, the experience, and as well, like, you know, a lot of them like the electrician knew, for example, I was completely blindsided. Like, I hadn't a clue. Like, before the kitchen was in, I had to find out where I was putting switches, where I was putting my TV. You know, it was like a blank canvas, and I didn't know where anything was going. He literally guided me through it. Dylan, shout out to Dylan. He was amazing.
Yeah, so, he's done it all before, you see. He's the man that'll know.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I had an issue with something with the switch for the plumbing. Rang the plumber, he was straight out to me. So I can't fault anyone now, I have to say. I really can't.
What, you put in air to water, or what did you do?
Air to water, so I have underfloor heating and I have rads then upstairs. So it's,
have you got a burr rating?
Yeah, so it had to be your A rated house. I think that was all part of the planning, to get the planning.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
so it must be so cozy.
It's so warm. I haven't had the heating on since, like. No, and it is cold outside still, isn't it?
That's mad that people have no heating on even at this time of the year. Because those of us that have older homes than yours, the heating's still on. I mean, you know, you're getting heat and water for a fraction of the cost. So it must be party central, so with all of your pals. It's party after party, is it?
I've been very quiet. I had my Easter dinner there with the family, so that was lovely. But other than that, I've just had a few callers. But I might start something in the summer.
Yeah.
Might do a little house barbecue outside or something like that.
Did you set an all-in cost of 240 grand?
Yeah.
And was it north of that by much?
Do you know what, Neil, I'm not going to lie, I actually couldn't even
added it up yet.
Because, yeah, I know I just lost kind of control the last couple of months with me, my own, putting in my own things into it, like,
yeah.
Just going that extra, so when you get to the end of your house, you just kind of go that extra bit, you're like, oh, so look, it's my house, I'll just get that, and, you know, like, yeah. As in, yeah. It's definitely 250, 260, like, as in, not much, but, like, it was pretty expensive for me, myself, and I, if you know what I mean.
But I'm thinking, how many bedrooms?
Three.
Okay, but I'm thinking in a new build with an A-rated home, with everything that you put into it, even if it was, say, 250, you'd be easily paying 385, 395, maybe close on 400,000 off for that.
Yeah.
So there's a huge saving.
Yeah, like, as I said, if I had to get a builder in, I wouldn't be able to build a house, like, and that's 100%. Like, it would have been probably 150 more than that. Like.
Yeah, I agree. But so, the sense of satisfaction, you can't put a figure on that.
No, it's like, as in, I'm so glad I did it. I'm after learning so much. I am working core builders, but at the same time, I didn't realise how little I knew about building.
Yeah.
And now I'm after learning so much. And you know what? The Instagram page has been amazing because people have got onto me and been asking me for advice, and being able to answer them is just so worthwhile. Then,
yeah, you can tell them what kind of pitfalls to expect. What would be the main pitfall? Would it be, for me to be putting words into your mouth, I don't want to be doing that, but would it be, would you agree that it might be people never arrive when they're supposed to?
Yeah, like, again, the hardest for me was lining up the next person and trying to make sure, we'll say, that the plumber would be here on Tuesday, he'd have to do something before the electrician could finish off the next part, if you know what I mean. That was definitely the hardest for me. And I hate being a dictator or, like, telling someone, you know, sometimes I felt like it was really after turning, like, not like a nice person, and I think I am a nice person.
sometimes you have to crack the whip.
Yeah, actually, Mark the Tyler, he was calling me Marie Bannon. I was buzzing.
And on the Instagram, then, have you videos of all of the different stages and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, I did a good bit, like, on the stories, but I did the final kind of little video there, if you wanted to go in and see it. That's kind of what it looks at the moment. So I just did that last week.
Oh, mega.
A dream. It's literally a dream, I have to say, Neil. I'm just so proud. And as well, my dad, and again, Neil, people like my dad, I would not have been able to have done it without my dad's help either. Like, you know, I have to say that. You know, he was able to do a lot of the groundwork outside as well. Like,
have you put it, you know, you see the people who put names on their houses, I always find that funny. It's somebody's business, but their own. Yeah. But if you have a name on it,
I don't yet, because I haven't got a wall built. But when I do, I was telling you this last year, I'm going to put it off to Laren Wood, which is Laren Dota in Kilcrohan. That's where my granddad is from. And the Woodlands in Skull, that's where my granny's from.
Laren Wood.
They're both past, you know, so
it's a lovely, it's a respectful nod Cork, in their direction. That's fantastic, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I'm really, really happy, though, I have to say, and it's lovely to, you know, be people following the journey as well. I love it.
People can do that on Instagram, self-build by Marie. Tell me this, you never think of a change of career, maybe you could get a job and start your own business as a project manager? Perhaps.
Yeah, who knows? That's what people are saying to me now. But no, I'm in flooring and floors and doors. Like, I feel like I'm actually just gaining a new level of experience now with regard to advising people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's great.
Yeah.
But no, I think I won't be building another house, let's put it that way.
No, it's done. Laren Wood is built.
Done.
You're in there. Looking forward to the summer barbecue. And I know it's way off in the distance, but your first Christmas dinner in your own home with all your family.
Yeah,
you're still focusing on that, fair play to you. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I have a tree bought and everything.
I wouldn't doubt you. Totally prepared for every eventuality.
Yeah.
Nice, Mama Marie. People can check it out for themselves.
So much.
You're the best. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Got our Instagram page, self-build by Marie. Check it out. It's all up there, lads. Go for it! Brian Adams and Run to You. And Brian Adams plays the Marquee on Tuesday, the 11th of June. We have two tickets to give away. Caller 9 was Anne Corrigan from St. Michael's Lawn in Mahon. Congratulations, Anne. Well done. You're off to Brian Adams on Tuesday, the 11th of June. It's one of the Live of the Marquee gigs happening across the summer. It's an early taster because I'll be doing lots more tickets by the time we get into the month of May and June. But I said I'd just jump in, just for the sake of it. So this week, Brian Adams today, Van Morrison tickets tomorrow, Damien Dempsey tickets then on Thursday, and who knows what I'll do for Friday. I have another few as well. So it's kind of an early call for Life of the Marquee. So well done. Enjoy that, Anne. And more tomorrow. You'll be listening out for a Van Morrison song and so on and so forth. For all of the business, text 0868 104 106. Back after the break. A bit of nostalgia for you. I'll tell you more about it after these.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
With Mercedes-Benz Cork. Discover luxury by test driving the stunning CLA Coupe at our Little Island showroom today. And if
somebody heard, Tom O'Dell, live at the Marquee, June 25th. Tickets, $54.65, are on sale now. Maybe subject to fees. Presented by Aiken Promotions.
This is the third year of Tesco Mobile not increasing prices mid-contract. 3 years of no annual price hikes. No mid-contract surprises for 3 years. To celebrate, save €320 on the iPhone 13. Only €129.99 on our €35 plan. Tesco Mobile, this is supermarket mobile. Applies to bill pay customers that sign up before 31st December 24. Thrown offer ends 1st May 24. 24-month contract. T's and C's apply. See tescomobile.ie.
What's my favourite thing about working with Care Plus? I suppose it's brightening someone's day, whether through a smile or lending a helping hand. Just being there for them is so rewarding.
Start changing lives with Care Plus today. Contact our Mallow office today. Join Care Plus North Cork healthcare assistant and social care worker teams at careplus.ie.
Care Plus. Together we can care for more.
That's care with a K, care with a difference.
It's almost 12 o'clock. Time to plan your next trip with Bus Éireann as part of the TFI network. Visit busairan.ie for timetable information.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Back into last week, I was telling you about a story about a craze that's taken off very much in Scandinavia, primarily in Finland, usually young girls. It's hobby horsing. And they have competitions for it, and they have trotting and galloping and cantering and dressage, and they jump over fences and everything. So the hobby horse in question would be a stick with a horse's head stuck on the top of it. It's very interesting to watch it, because no disrespect, people can do whatever they want and it's their own business and their own fun or games, whatever they want to play. But you can't help but feel mortifyingly, I can't find it clear, you can't help but feel mortifyingly embarrassing watching them. But apparently it's taken off, so much so that there are competitions now in certainly in Finland, in trotting and galloping and cantering, and it's the head of a horse stuck between your legs and a short stick, and you like, it just looks so silly. But then again, they could be doing an awful lot worse. They could be stuck on phones, or they could be stuck, and they take it for, it's very competitive as well. So we're asking, what are the, because this years ago it would have been just a stick, you wouldn't have had a horse's head on it. Do you know what used to be on it years ago when we used to go around like that? It was a mop. So the head of the mop represented the head of the horse, and then the stick was the body of the horse. So what did people play? Conkers on the string. There were three games, says Mark, we used to play. Stuck in the mud, very similar to flush the toilet. No idea what these games are. British Bulldog, still no idea. Another one then, Queenie, I.O., British Bulldogs, Oranges and Lemons. I need to get an explanation as to what British Bulldogs or Oranges and Lemons or Queenie I.O. Runaway Knock, I know. Steps or Curbs. Red Rover. 1, 2, 3, the book is red. Tip the Can. Hide the Shoe. Hopscotch. Elastics. Skipping. Pitch and Toss. Conkers. Nobody played the game. Bait the Head Off You. What about building go-karts? We were great for building go-karts back in the day. Kick the Can and Release. Here's another one that's new to me. Chas says, Sally with Your Blue Ribbons. Dot, 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 if your shoe is dirty. Is that a kid's game? Tip the Can, kick the Can, Rounders, the whole estate would play it. Tip the Can keeps coming up over and over again. How is that played, Tip the Can? I bet you maybe Lima Higgin, the local Cork historian, might know a few, including Tip the Can. He joins us on my phone. Liam, good morning.
Good morning, Ace.
I don't mean to throw you under a bus straight away, but Tip the Can?
Oh, yeah, that was very popular around the marsh area. You put down the can in the middle of the street and just the eye ran away. They did find somewhere there, some horns, and you must pick up the can, call out, find out where they are, and if someone can come out and kick the can while you're looking for somebody else, you're out.
Oh, yes, so one person is on guard around the can and the others are hiding, trying to get to tip it off. Oh, so that would be like kick the can then?
Yeah.
Okay. Some of them I've never heard of. British Bulldog. Any idea?
Never heard of this.
Yeah, you and me both. So what were... Pitch and Toss was another famous one, wasn't it?
That was known as Feck.
Feck. A game of Feck.
Feck. Yeah. You put on the jack and you throw your halfpennies or your pennies at the jack, and whoever got the nearest within would toss them up. They'd barrel them up in the air.
Barrel them?
Barrel them up. And if two heads came down, you won all the money. And if a head and a half came down, you had the choice of doing it again or taking half the money. But if two halves came down, you would, the next person in line then would get a chance to barrel
them
up.
All right, so it was kids gambling then.
Oh, yeah, but it was only for pennies, for mates and for lops.
And tell me this, because somebody here says hopscotch, but in my language back in the day, that would have been either picky or piggy.
Picky. That was another polished tin full of sand or muck or whatever, and you just picked it from number to number. There was six numbers, one to six. Now they were playing hopscotch in England, it was 1 to 8. We had 1 to 6.
That was a girls' game, though. The boys wouldn't play that.
Well, if you wanted to get friendly with the girls, you asked them to your falling leg.
Yeah, but then you'd have been, back in those days, you'd have been called a sissy, of course, if you were doing that.
Not at all, when there was 3 or 4 other fellas waiting to get in the queue.
All right, you might fancy one of the girls. Yeah.
And it was the same with the skipping rope. You know, the clubs, ladies, girls, games as well. But you would ask them then, because, you know, with 4 or 5 of us going on, we'd ask them to return the rope. And we'd turn in the rope room, and eventually you got talking to them, and the rest is history, didn't we?
All right, here's some more for you. Gobs, elastics, tip the can. Runaway knock.
Runaway knock, yeah, that was very popular as well. We had that time in the marsh, And no, there was no bells, it was our knuckles.
That's right.
And if you knocked at the door of the tenement house, four or five people might come out here to know what they want. So what we used to do then is, you break the door before you give a good rattle at the knuckle and run away and be peeping around to know how many came out to answer the door. Like. That was running away now.
So exasperating and frustrating. What?
I tell you now, I have about 60 of them here now in front of me, and you might spin the battery, kiss or capture. We swam all through the summer.
You were out there. Now, you would have been out to Lee Bats, I'd say, if you were a marsh lad.
Out to Lee Bats, we swam from everywhere from Inniscanna Cemetery down to Yall. At different times now, like we didn't climb in out in the. In the Scala, you know where in the Scala Cemetery is?
Yeah.
We'll go there swimming one day, and the next day, then we'll go to Hell Hole by the Angler's Rest.
And in all those times when you were doing that, unbeknownst to where your parent, where you were, your parents never knew. Was anyone ever in danger of being drowned?
Well, they might have been in danger of being drowned, but I don't ever remember anyone being drowned in our group. Never.
Yeah. Because everybody is... Kids are so minded now and so cosseted and protected. Like, it was
what? It's just the thing. They're being malicated, don't they? They're being malicated, no. They can't scratch, no. But they must go to a psychiatrist or a doctor or a nurse.
Well, I know all of that, yeah. But back in the day, I wonder, did people...
Back in the day, we went out in the morning and we stayed out until lunchtime and maybe until 6 o'clock that night we came back in. And we were after having a great time. It could be old. The Lee Fields, playing football. It could be up to Meath. We've done everything in the Mardyke. You know, then we played football, we played cricket, we played rugby even in the Mardyke in play school there. And with the Murrays in the summer were up to Piper's Murrays up in the Mardyke.
What about the Conkers in Conker season? Were you a Conker champ?
Oh, yeah. The Chessies, yeah. Well, the Murrays, a Conker champ. You could be a champ for 2 minutes. Conquered 1 or Conquered 3, you know that kind of way, but they'd be all out to get to then. And if you were Conquered 3 and they'd block your Chessie, they would be Conquered 4 then.
And on the title went, yeah. I mean, I don't know whether kids play Conquers anymore or whether they play. Many people say marbles. I would, as kids, it was Glassy Alleys to us. Like, but can you still buy a bag of Glassy Alleys? I wonder even.
Listen, I brought home Chessies recently, last year, to my grandchildren. I should have only battled one out of them. They didn't play. First of all, they wanted to know what were there for.
It's up to you to teach them, man. It's up to you to make a hole through the conker, put in the string, tie a knot in the string.
What do you do then when they tell you that's stupid? That's a stupid game. We love choking them. So we had bows and... Do you know what we had, Neil? I'm talking about mobile phones. We'd have a string, a bit of twine, and a can on each end. And you put up your ear and your man was talking to his can. No, you could hear him because he'd be only a couple of hours away from it. But that was all mobile phones.
Simple times.
And we used the cans then after for stilts. You put with twine through them and you'd stand up on them and you'd be trying to walk along. We were all going around on the footpath, pulling and dragging out one up and everything. You know, so.
Yeah, I know. I make light of this hobby horsing thing because it looks a bit daft, but each to their own
I'll tell you about that. We used to play that because we used to have a brush. And just the handle of the brush went between your legs and you ran. We'd go down Grattan Street, up Peter Street, up Post Street, and back up onto Henry Street.
Was that a form of cowboys and Indians, like?
No, it was a race. And then you get a box of the brush. If you were out too fast, somebody come up behind you, give a box of the brush to slow you down.
Hang on there a second, will you? Because I think I might get somebody to be able to explain to me what... I think first up, Michael is going to explain polling. Michael.
Hello, how are you doing?
Just very quickly, thanks a lot. What is it, polling?
Basically, we, you know, in our national school, there was a concrete poles, and basically it was a boys' school. And the craze was basically the fellas would grab 2 legs of the young fella, open the legs, and ram through the pole.
Jesus, that's like almost a form of castration. That's a form of castration.
Well, but the thing is, the only two boys that never got caught were the two biggest fellas in the yard.
You're a bunch of bullies. Did it ever happen to you?
No, because I'm too big.
Oh, you're the one that was doing it.
No, I wasn't the one that was doing it, but I was. I made sure no young fella came near me to fucking.
You ruined a lot of young fella's sex life in later life.
I never part of any of it. No, but they couldn't do it to me because I was too big.
Polling, mother of God, painful. All right, thanks, Michael. You haven't heard of that one, Liam? No, that wouldn't have been tolerated in the marsh.
Never.
Okay, British Bulldog. Sean, what's British Bulldog?
How are you, Neil? British Bulldogs, right, it's kids' game in schools. I don't even know if they play it anymore because I think even when I was in school back in the 80s, it was banned because it can be turned quite violent as well. Right, you need one in the middle of a field or a road, and then you've got a gang, you know, like, the more people you have, the better, the more fun it is, right? The one in the middle, right, stands there, and he's got his patch that he goes back and forth across. Right, the ones that are against him all line up on one side of the road and they run across the road. Hopefully there's no cars.
Yeah.
And the one in the middle has to grab them. Keep hold of them long enough to say British Bulldogs 1, 2, 3. Right, then he joins that team and then the two of them try and grab a third one. Right, but the thing is, though, the reason it probably got banned in school is because you'd be kicking the legs from underneath people and everything. You know. And, you know, so obviously, you know, the whole idea is to literally run, and in the end, it ends up with, like, one or two, you know, and the last one that last survives.
One, last one standing. You
know, yeah. The last one standing. Right. It was quite violent, you know, but we all played it, we all survived it, you know, we've got a few scars from it, but we enjoyed it.
Nice one. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Michael. So now we know about those. Cowboys and Indians, of course, be another big one, wasn't it, Liam?
Oh, yeah. And bone arrows.
Bone arrows.
That's right. From bone and arrows, with bone arrows. But the big old subject, you know, the place statues and the place pity, as you said. Skipping ropes and all the lines, you know. There's somebody under the bed. I don't know who it is. I got a shock in the Amazon. I call my nail in. Nail light, candle, nail light, the gas. Run in, run out. There's somebody under the bed.
I love it. Have a good day, Liam O'Higgin, our own Cork historian. So it all started earlier in the week with hobby horse competitions, galloping and cantering around the ring with a horse's head on a stick between your legs. Simple days, lads. Incidentally, there's a texter rightly points out to me, Kick the Can hasn't gone away, you know. They still play Kick the Can. It's still very popular above in Leinster House. Have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow.
When Cork talks,
Cork people blow my mind.
They talk to Neil Prendeville
on Red FM.